serious video time. I want to talk about a problem that we have in the United States that's getting really bad. Black people. We have so many of them, and I can't stand them. You lose them in the dark. They eat all your goddamn chicken and everything else that's wrong with them. I think we should have a new plague that gets rid of just black people, because the niggers are ridiculous.
Pastor listed Aryan man with an Armageddon plan, derailed Dogs Railroad train. Wants to kill all the Jews and a lot of Uyghurs too. He has a psycho Aryan non-Uyghur brain. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. Four grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and chasing all Zog's lie, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. It was on any weekday night, when Jews lie that they's right, he pissed on damn kite claims. And the Wizap with a shout, them stupid fucking louts, that Pope Marty done hits at what he aims. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. Four grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and finished off Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. It was on any weekday night when the pastor is at home talking to Christ's family tree. When along's come dirty Jew and a Zogling Uyghur or two, making they's ass whooping necessary. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. Four grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and chasing off Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. Well, the ass clouds hold their breath when they hear a pastor's depth. They wonder why he don't fucking lie. It was dirty pisser possums and all of Satan's mamsers that want to take him down on the sly. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. Four grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and finished off Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave.
Zogling, Uyghur, and Mamzer ass clowns, and wire bill, mumps, nuts, declaruses. Across the fruited, nutted Zog plain in the open air coast to coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. This show is, as always, aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. This is episode number 130 of the Movement Turd, and tonight is the 8th of July, 2012, and what is it, 8:43, more or less, Granby Unstandard Central Time, PM, And tonight's show is called Never Look a Gift Great Tribulation in the Mouth. Pretty well, there's not really very much going on in the bowel movement. You had Obi Genderbender, and later on, Liar Bill Mumps Nuts the Clueless were going ahead and bitching about how this guy called Anchorage Activist was going ahead and writing up his blog called White Reference. Now, folks, whether or not you like this character or not, Anchorage Activist, I went ahead and changed his name from Ashkenazi Asswipe, because initially I did not like him at all, because he loved Trader Glenn Miller, he loved the literature campaign, he likes Alex Linder and the rest here. But essentially, over the last couple of years, he sort of moderated his dislike for genuine dual seed line Christian Dante, and has been able to go ahead and spot liars and clowns and idiots like Obi Genderbender and Mumpsnuts. Mumpsnuts was here earlier, and being the coward he is, went ahead and made a number of threats about how he wanted the E-Ray Cap book for a printer that didn't work. Folks, this is a perfectly good printer, which came out of this box I bought for $45. And essentially, I think old Mumpsnuts probably isn't able to go ahead and figure out how to use a printer. It's probably Mumpsnuts' problem here. Anyway, Mumpsnuts was running around making a few threats here. And they're always idle threats. Mumpsnuts likes going ahead and pretending that it gets to go ahead and make a challenge, and then I got to go ahead and go according to how Mumpsnuts wants to go ahead and do the challenge. Now, Brian Wright did the same thing with John Britton and same way with Brian Real. And what you tell these idiots who like going ahead and talking about how big and bad they are, you go ahead and you inform them as a challenging party, you get to go ahead and choose a weapon from the ground. And I just simply told Mumpsnuts, gelding knives at zero paces in my front living room. Mumpsnuts actually weighs probably 10 or 15 pounds more than I do. I'd say Mumpsnuts weighs about 250, 260, maybe more. But he's about 6 inches shorter than I am, probably 3 inches shorter, too, if you know what I mean. And Mumpsnuts is essentially just a fat pig, a fat, retarded, idiotic pig. It runs around, and it's a petty criminal that got caught, and it goes to places that I guess haven't figured out how to type in William Sean DeClue in the Missouri case net files and figured out that Mumpsnuts is just simply a tard here. Oh, by the way, check of Vancouver, Washington here. You went ahead and invited a number of people to your show, and all you did was just keep them blocked. So generally, I don't do that, but pretty well, all you had was that retard noose kike there who pussied out last night. So, and all you're going to go ahead and say is, I am a targeted individual or something like that here. I mean, look, Chuck, you need to learn that if you're going to be a tard, that's fine here, but you can't expect to go ahead and be blocked if you come to other people's show here. So the next time I go ahead and decide to stay up late and go to your retarded show, which has nothing really intelligent to say here, I want you to go ahead and learn that essentially it is a good thing not to go ahead and, to block people. You know what I mean? I mean, you go ahead and act like heck, even guest number 5, who's a total, retard here. This critter gets to go ahead and be unblocked, but not you, Chuck. I'm a little bit annoyed at you, okay? This is a special rule, okay? So where was I here? Okay, I want a little show of paws and snouts here. How many think I should go ahead and unblock Chuck here? Okay, real quick here. I'll go ahead and look at how many thinks, How many critters think that I'll go ahead and unblock Chuck here? I was going to go ahead and keep the tart blocked, but I've changed my mind here. We're going to go ahead and have popular sovereignty here. Okay, Frankie Wigger. Okay, guest number five says, fuck Chuck. Well, ain't very nice, guest number five. I mean, guest number five just doesn't have very much, a sense of fairness here, I mean, I let that tart go ahead, Oh, the Chuck of Vancouver Weiss is an imposter. Wait, he's a good guy. Okay, Frank, well, you've already said no here. I'll go ahead and look at it. I guess I'll keep Chuck muted during the monologue, and then when I get around to it, I'll go ahead and see whether or not I change my mind. You only get really one vote here. Okay, so whether or not I should mute old fucked up Chuck from Vancouver, Washington here. All right, folks, the name of tonight's show is called Never Look a Give Great Tribulation in the Mouth here. And I thought I'd go ahead and point out is that Anchorage activists pretty well figured out that Obagender Bender was a liar, Obagender Bender was a Pharisee, and he went ahead and posted some of the stuff I had to say about old Liar Bill Mumpsnuts, the clueless character such as it is here. Mumpsnuts is just nothing more than a fat, delusional retard who's pretty well alienated his entire family. Essentially, Mumpsnuts will go ahead, get in there, beg and plead and beg to come in, and then just sit there like a big, fat old tard here. And essentially what he'll do is I think he'll go ahead and then report on what he supposedly heard at the meetings or whatever. And since he's such a retard, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He'll always get it wrong. And what he'll do is he'll be sort of mean and vicious and go ahead and make up a whole bunch of lies. So anyway, okay. Anyway, here. Righty, well, okay. Anyway, Mumpsnuts will, for example, here. I'll never call you a child molester, Martin, because I was accused of sexual assault twice on my nieces. And then Mumpsnuts talked about his sisters who were screwing niggers and had a bunch of nigglet nieces and the rest of that here. So I was like, well, why Bill's molesting his nigglet nieces here or being accused of it? What the hell's going on here? And he just sat like a big old lump of dog shit. You can go ahead when you tell he's not altogether there. He's none too smart. 85 IQ on a good day. He's just fat and retarded. And initially, he's real easy to please. He'll go ahead and beg and beg and beg and beg like he did for me to ordain it. And I did so. I knew he wasn't too smart, but I thought, well, he can't get into much mischief. He ain't too smart. Well, he does his best to get into mischief. But regardless of where he goes, sooner or later, they figure out what a delusional, lying tard they have in their midst, and they go ahead and boot him out. Be it, Billy Roper or be it even Morris Gillette here. Morris Gillette tried to go ahead and avoid Mumpsnuts saying shit about him by simply kicking him upstairs and then just simply dropping him without too much fanfare. And so did Billy Roper. I guess they learned something from me going ahead and kicking him out here. Anyway, where was I? Where was I? Anyway, talk about old Mumpsnuts here. Anyway, you have Obagender Bender whining and whining and whining, and when Anchorage activists went ahead and answered what tard Obagender Bender was, went ahead and went whining that, does Anchorage activists know what a murderous maniac Winston is? He talks about skinning out, regime criminal spawn and feed them to the parents. And the answer is that I keep that up, and yes, I do advocate that. Folks, I just don't have very much of the milk of human kindness to regime criminals. after they did their best to go ahead and send me to prison on trumped up charges, and then, you know, have me murdered in prison. They went ahead and bought and sold, you know, my grandchildren. So the only way to go ahead and deal with evil people, the only way to go ahead and keep them in check, if you're even going to go ahead and allow them to live, which is a big mistake. It's a big mistake to have the spawn of Satan among you. It's a big mistake to go ahead and have vicious non-white animals among you. It's a big mistake to go ahead and allow the misbegotten to go ahead and be among you to begin with. But folks, we're under Zog Babylon, which consists of a evil alliance of Jews and Uyghur race traders. And folks, I have even less use for a Uyghur race trader than I do a Jew. Folks, a Jew really cannot help being evil. The critter was born evil. Jeremy Visser can't help really being evil. It was born evil. Obagender Bender, I think, is a Mamzer Jew of some sort. I think he was born evil. Mumpstutz, well, he's just born fat, stupid, retarded, and disloyal. Okay? So you can't really go ahead and blame a creature for being what it is. But you can blame a Uyghur for essentially being born with a soul, being born with a brain, being born with a choice, and then choosing to go ahead and betray our own people. The only way a regime criminal will learn that you don't go ahead and destroy the families of others, of your subjects, is to go ahead and put, pretty well finish off the line of that regime criminal. The whole purpose of torture of the spawn of regime criminals is essentially to go ahead and tell any Uyghurs that you want to go ahead and have live is that, guess what, boys? There's a whole new regime around. There's a whole new regime around, and you do the shit that you used to do, essentially you're going to be sent screaming to hell. You even support, you're going to go ahead and die. Now, folks, all Obagender Bender has accomplished essentially is to put in the minds of people that when you're talking about a dual seed line Christian identity sociopathic maniac, you're talking about Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Lindstedt. That's why you end up having Finkelschini, who essentially is some sort of kike who went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner in Jersey City jail. And Eli James, who's pretty well outed as a Jew. And these other characters here you never heard of before. And what brought that on was these three pastors who, well, they went ahead and they were in Western Alabama, and they'd already had a meeting quietly for 3 years, and they decided to go ahead and send in some leaflets, and then they got a whole bunch of people paying attention to them. Now, folks, it's really no big deal, because you've got to understand that nobody really worries about this stupid crap. They don't worry about, I mean, folks, if, you know, and the one I think who probably did that was this Mel Lewis. If Mel Lewis did something like that without permission, without an agreement, Mel Lewis wouldn't have these people come in. I imagine that after, what, 3 years without any problem, he wanted to go ahead and have something bigger like what Pete Peters used to have at Branson, Missouri. And essentially he went ahead and I think, because I can't see anyone who runs a congregational type church going ahead and simply doing something or bringing it to somebody else without the permission of the other attendees. If he did do something like that without permission, this is God. No, this pisser, you know, pisser possum is dog, more like here. In any case, if they did something without the permission of the congregants, they're not going to show up next year. So I believe Mr., you know, Pastor Mel Lewis, and I have talked to him, did it with the permission. Now, whether or not I think it was a wise thing to do is neither here nor there. Because in Christian Identity, pretty well every congregation chooses their pastor. And their pastor really doesn't do something that isn't with the agreement of the congregation unless it's a matter of essentially, it's really a religious important matter. Not something as to whether or not they'll, you know, they'll go ahead and have an open meeting or a closed meeting. So essentially, you know, Pastor Lewis and the other two pastors, I believe, had the permission of their congregation to go ahead and do those flyers. If they didn't, then guess what? This is not going to go ahead and happen again next year. So, was it a wise thing to do? Well, I don't think so. Mel Lewis, he's from Harrison, Arkansas, which is pretty well the center of Christian Identity. And here he was in western Alabama, which is away from the center of it. And he may have decided, well, we need to go ahead and find people who want to go ahead and be changed or saved and let them know about it. That may have been why they did the flyers. Not just publicity, but to go ahead and let people know that they are available in western Alabama. This sort of thing does not occur around my neck of the woods or where there's a good deal of Christian Identity congregations because these people already know who they are and they know who they want to go ahead and go to. So that may have been a second reason they went ahead and did the flyers. But essentially, once Anchorage activists is sort of interested in that, old gender bender got to go ahead and, you know, come in with this Rocky Sedea who is saying that Harold Covington was fat. Okay, well, from my gather, Harold Covington is fat. And Obagender Bender just got to go ahead and get itself involved in just about everything. Just about anything. Obagender Bender, if Harold Covington let Obagender Bender run things, according to Obagender Bender's manner, essentially, Obagender Bender would go ahead and set up a sort of a Jewish Zogfall front here. But, you know, from my gather, I think Harold Covington has gotten a little bit leery of critters like Obagender Bender telling Harold Covington what to do. Me, I don't. You know, if I have disagreements with some of Harold Covington's, problems, I go ahead, you know, way of doing things, I go ahead and say as much. But to me, Harold Covington runs his organization as Harold Covington sees fit. That's the only way to do things. That's the only way that will work. And folks, you know, for all practical purposes, you know, they may say, you know, I got to laugh here. Every little, even big Fuhrer Princip, Fuhrer, when it comes down to it, here in America, has to go ahead, and he may want to be a big dictator, but he's not going to go ahead and be able to, because essentially, if you don't agree with the great Fuhrer, well, you're not going to go ahead and pay attention to him, you're not going to go ahead and give me money, you're not going to go ahead and give me support. Essentially, an efficient, even Nazi leader, has to go ahead and pretty well govern by consensus. Now, I do not. Although, it chooses me to go ahead and do so. I'll go ahead and add up, you know, how many people want me to unmute, you know, Chuck of Vancouver. And I'll probably go ahead and unmute Visser as God here at the very end, you know, at the very start of the next segment. But if it said Pisser Possum is dog, I mean, look, Visser is God if you want. Pisser Possum is, you know, a rape supporter. It looks like we got Obagender Bender here on tonight here. Okay, folks. It looks like I got three tards here, and it looks like Obagender Bender's made a support, you know, apartment as a rape supporter. Folks, Visser, an old gender bender and the rest don't seem to understand that they don't know how, when they're on the attack, they don't know how to tuck in their kike snout, and they don't know how to go ahead and pull in their kike tail. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a world in which, especially the people you're trying to talk to, have been wronged by Zog Babylon, and you're trying to go ahead and say, Listed doesn't want to go ahead and kill the spawn of regime criminals. Listed wants to go ahead and kill them all. Let God sort them out. By going ahead and making such a complaint, essentially, you're saying what side you are on, and you're pretty well saying what side I'm on. Folks, if Zog Babylon wanted to go ahead and have any moral claim to me and someone like me or someone like my supporters not destroying their children and not destroying their families, well, they should have shown mine some mercy. Going ahead and showing mercy to criminals, to Jews, to treasonous Whiggers, to all the other vermin, which is not showing our race any love, any respect, anything other than just the 315 hatred, is idiotic. This rape supporter is doubtless Obagender Bender, Pisser Poacher Possum, running around trying to make his point here. Sounds much like Claire the Wolf Jukel, who I'm still going ahead and looking in my hard drive for, you know, after Jim Floyd went ahead and wrote, is this the last 4th of July in 1998, went ahead and wrote, is printing racist articles helpful? Folks, Claire the Wolf, you know, was, well, essentially a Zogbot, a liar, a hypocrite, and so is Obagender Bender. Critter doesn't even dare go ahead and show its snout, doesn't even dare show its name. Can you believe something from an unknown criminal? The answer is you certainly cannot. Anyway, folks, I don't worry about what's going to end up happening, because pretty well the founding of this church is Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22. Verse 21, for then shall be a great tribulation such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What does that tell me? What should that tell you? It says that there is a great tribulation which is coming ahead, and it's not going to be pretty. And essentially, unlike what Finkelstein, Eliar, the rest of the Baal priests, you know, the Jew Baal priests who have gotten in Christian identity within the last couple of years say, there was not already this great tribulation. The millennium is yet to come because it follows the Great Tribulation. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, of famine, pestilence, war, and death. And like the Jew, you know, James Howard Kunstler says, he sort of thought that death would go ahead and follow the other three horsemen. But in any case, they were not. They were not, and the Bible goes ahead and says as much. They were not Gaius Marius, Felix Sulla, Julius Caesar, and Mark Antony, like both Eliar and Finkelstein were trying to say they were, in order to go ahead and prove that the Roman Catholic Church put Satan into the pit for 1,000 years, from 500 to 1,500, and then he got turned loose for the white people to go ahead and say, screw you, Roman Catholic Church, here. I mean, essentially, Eli James and Finkelstein are just Marino Jews who support the Baal cult of Sibylle, just like Mumpsnuts does. In any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead. Well, folks, what these people are saying is that they don't believe. They just don't believe that, essentially, things are going to fall apart, that how things are going to be done is going to be done. I went ahead and called up Jim Giles. They say he has a short-time radio show up here. He had two, Jersey
Jersey cows, a bull named Napoleon, and a cow named Josephine. I went ahead and said, look, Jim Giles, let's say you have a farm which will support 20 cattle when it's run right. But it hasn't been run right. And of those 20 cattle, you have, what, 12 of them, which are nigger cows and beaner cows and a Jew cow or two. And then you have, what, 8 whigger cows. And of the 20 cows, 18 of them are diseased with brucellosis, which means that they have a cow venereal disease, which can be fatal on occasion, can be catchy to people. And the only 2 cows that you have left are Napoleon and Josephine. And furthermore, because essentially the Jew cows and the nigger cows and the rest have gone ahead and been eating the grass down to the roots, there no longer is room for anything more than 5 cows, where there used to be room for 20 cows. And more of the point here, 18 of them have brucellosis and they're about to affect Napoleon and Josephine. And you're the pastor, or you're the herder of those cows. You're the owner of those cows. What do you do in order to make sure that there should be a cow remnant alive? What should you do here, given those situations? And Jim Giles, I think, understood, even though he's a roid rage retard, and I went in and said, is that what you need to do? Is you need to butcher out 18 of those 20 cows. You need to go ahead and take care of the Jew cow, and the nigger cows, and the beaner cows too, but you need to go ahead and take care of 6 diseased twigger cows. And start over again with Napoleon and Josephine, the good whigger cows that are not diseased. That's what you need to do. And Jim Giles didn't want to go ahead and look at that here. But folks, as a pastor, it has the root with the name pastoral, which means of having herds of sheep. And folks, my job as I look at it is to only administer to the found sheep of the house of Israel, the chosen seed of Israel's race, those who did hear Christ's call. It is a waste of time. It is awful to go ahead and save diseased animals, even if they're whigger animals, who have gone ahead, essentially, and been perverted and been diseased by Jews, by Mamzers, by niggers, by beaners. Essentially, they need to learn the hard way through their destruction. You're only interested in saving the cows that can be saved. So therefore, given what I believe, Matthew 24, verse 21 through 22, is that Yahweh's servant nation shall survive. But only it shall survive. The rest are quite expendable. In fact, they need to die. And going ahead and having any mercy on regime criminals, be they Uyghurs or Mamzers or Jews, is unlawful. It's contrary to Yahweh's law. And therefore, you do not do that. You don't even pay lip service to it. Folks, I am not one to look a great tribulation in the mouth. And whether or not you believe it, just because I say it here, will come to pass. No. Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago that this would come to pass. All I'm doing is just repeating it. This show is about telling you, the listener, about what is coming up. You'd have Brian Rio, and you'd have Obi Genderbender, and you'd have Liar Bill whining and pissing and moaning. He says he's allowed to have his webpage up. He's going to kill 190 million people. And I'd go ahead and ask, well, how's that going to happen? How is that going to happen? And the answer is, it's not going to happen. Folks, all I am is a messenger. I'm not the enforcer. I'm not the expediter. Yahweh is. Just as in Noah's day when the flood came, And it goes ahead in Matthew chapter 24 and talks about as in the days of Noah, it would be the same as today. People marrying, giving in marriage, people eating and drinking and being merry. But then the end came, and so it shall be. And folks, just like on Mount Carmel, after Elijah went ahead and had the face down, you know, had the showdown with 435 Baal priests or however many there were, and here comes, after a drought, here comes the cloud. Here comes a hand-shaped cloud and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and fills up the entire sky, and then it rains and it rains and it rains and it rains. 3 years worth. Folks, it's going to rain and it's going to pour. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'll go ahead and, you know, go ahead and count up whether or not to unmute fucked up Chuck of Vancouver, you know, Washington here. Probably Pisser's dog and Obagender Bender rape supporter. And a few other people. So folks, hail victory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating chop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. Okay, folks, we're back. I have a confession to make. I didn't actually go ahead and look for the votes in favor of me unmuting fucked up Chuck of Vancouver, Washington. I was going to go ahead and unmute the goofy bastard anyway. I was going to go ahead and I went ahead and unmuted Pisser Possum his dog. Folks, I'm not going to unmute Roxy Files not. Because essentially, the real Roxy Falls Knot essentially said, no, she's not. She's, I think she's watching a, she's watching a cooking show or something like that here. And, folks, I don't think that that's the real Roxy Fosnaught, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to go ahead and reward overt fraud. How's that? Okay? When does George call in? Whenever George feels like calling in here. I need to go ahead and have him say, this is the voyage of the USS Melungeon Prize. Well, we can boldly go where no pisser possum has gone before or since on Bridget the Idiot. Okay. Someone's going to have to go ahead and figure out a better name than Roxy Fosnaught here. I really am not going to go ahead and mute that quitter, okay? Alrighty. Well, folks, I've never been able to figure out which fucked up Chuck is which here. Used to, essentially, it was sort of like Amy Rose. Used to go ahead and say, hi, I'm sweet Amy Rose. You know, and look at me, I'm sweet Amy Rose. And Oba Gender Bender was so desperate to claim that I was impersonating it or running around pretending to be a female or something like that here. Oba Gender Bender would make a good nimbuster, I think. Sort of a rather retarded good nimbuster, but a good nimbuster nevertheless here. Anyway, where was I? I was looking at the comments on Andy Donner's page here. Essentially, I sort of thought that the reason that the thing was edited so much was to go ahead and protect Andy's anonymity. Although I think the Zog may or may not know who Andy is, and if Andy isn't worried about it, I'm not worried about it either. Of course. I'm certainly not going to go ahead and say who Andy is, but any case here, folks, you had a bunch of tards saying, well, it was not a good show. You made me sound like a songbird. What are you scared of? Blah, 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 blah. And essentially, you had all the tards go ahead and run amok, I think, on the comment section. And I was looking at Andy's response. So essentially, Andy said it was for a good reason. He didn't much care to go to these blogs or forums because essentially they're nothing more than a tard corral or something to that, you know, something to that effect here. In any case, I sort of thought that, you know, for whatever reason, it pretty well slowed Andy's voice down and it cut a good deal. Now, when I go ahead and work on WavePad, I will go ahead and cut down places which are longer than about 2 seconds of dead air. Sometimes longer than a second of dead air. You can go ahead and see it and see where there's a dead air space here. And I'll have a tendency to go ahead and cut down some of them. Not all of them. Certainly not even most of them, but some of them. You know, the longer ones. I'll go ahead and cut out, you know, what it says on TalkShoe. So if you want to go ahead and listen to the original broadcast, go ahead and download the thing right away. Okay? In any case, though, folks, you had Oba Gender Bender and Liar Bill Most Nasty Clueless essentially running around screeching and hollering and pissing and moaning about how they didn't like something. And pretty well, everyone told them to get a life. Get a life. Hey, some anonymous coward, supposedly from Australia, don't get to go ahead and tell me what to do. Heck, if you don't even have the decency to go ahead and let me know who the hell you are, why in the world should I go ahead and listen to you? Now, you've had these, and it's been a conceit among quitters who want to go ahead and get in, is that when they are anonymous, that they have a say in anything. Folks, if you're not going to go ahead and give your real name or your real face here, you don't get to go ahead and determine policy. people have a right to know who the hell is supposedly claiming to make decisions in their name. If you're not going to go ahead and say who you are, well, that just means that what you are is you're just an anonymous coward who chances are not what you appear to be. Oba Genderbender, I think, is a Jew Mamzer of some sort. And even VNNF Tards were able to figure out that the critter had gender identity issues. I was laughing when I went ahead and took the screenshot to where Anchorage activists went ahead and, you know, gave it the name of Obi Genderbender. Folks, Obi Genderbender is beginning to be known as a so-called genderbender. But folks, even VNNF Tars were able to figure out the critter had a gender identity issue. R.D. Bradshaw was able to figure out, well, I don't know. I was a senior enlisted man in Korea, and then I, you know, became a Mustanger and OCS graduate, and I reached the field grade rank of major by the time I retired. And someone who's a man who pretends to be a female is invariably a homosexual. He thought Obi Genderbender was a homosexual. And Obi Genderbender said, oh, I'm Shlomo, you know, Goldstein or something like that here. And, you know, R.D. Bradshaw thought it was. Now, Obi Genderbender data mines. Obi Genderbender goes ahead and reads IP numbers. Obi Genderbender, you cannot get to. It's 2.5 Mamzer Forum, a.k.a. the ChristianIdentityForum.net, by using a Tor browser. Same way with NIMBusters. I mean, I think Stan is a data miner himself as well, because I've heard complaints that I cannot get on NIMBusters by using the Tor browser. I certainly can't post using the Tor browser. And the complaint is that, well, hey, if you go ahead and use that, you know, being NIMTARS, you'll say all sorts of stuff here. And I'm tired of, you know, having trouble as a result of that. Well, folks, I remember last year, a little bit over a year ago, the guy who now hosts NIMBusters said that you can post all the pictures of Brian Rio you want, but you cannot save the actual picture on the server. You can go ahead and put a link to a picture of Brian Rio on someone else's server, no problem. And Stan went ahead and said that his server said something else here. Well, Stan was lying. So, in any case, when you go ahead and catch someone out not telling the truth, you got to wonder who the hell they are. And one of the means of lying is to go ahead and say that you're someone who you're not. Now, in the case of Andy, why, I've gone ahead and, of course, urged him to come up with a name other than his own, because, essentially, if Harold Covington goes ahead and introduces him as the Seattle Northwest Front leader, well, as far as I'm concerned, Harold Covington knows what he's doing as far as his organization is concerned, or even if he don't, Harold Covington's got to live with it. So as far as I'm concerned, listening to what I heard is that Andy Donner is the Seattle Northwest Front leader. And since it was on Harold Covington's show, well, hey, he was saying, you know, he was saying, from what I gather, you know, the thing about, you know, John Roberts having epilepsy and something like that, it didn't really matter to me as to why a traitor is a traitor. To me, John, you know, this John Roberts is a lying, worthless piece of shit here. He's just nothing more than, well, he's just nothing more than a piece of shit. He, I guess, actually believes the people got to go ahead and listen to what the hell he says to. And if he goes ahead and says it's constitutional, because you can go ahead and criminalize anything you want. You can go ahead and, you know, government can do whatever the hell they want as long as they claim it's a tax. In fact, Obongo and the Democrats say it wasn't a tax. So why in the world are you going ahead and agreeing with what the Democrats say it was? Well, essentially, they said it wasn't. If you want to talk about lessening judicial interference in the legislative procedure, then if the people who pass this say it is not a tax, but rather a forced mandate under the Commerce Clause, then guess what? Lawyers for the government, you said it was a Commerce Clause. And you said if it was under the Commerce Clause, it wasn't allowable. So you went ahead and said it was a tax. Well, there's another law which says you cannot rule on the constitutionality of the tax until such time as it is actually attempted to be collected. And therefore, the parties have standing. So therefore, if it's a tax, then you shouldn't have been able to rule on it. It should have just simply been, it should have just simply been overturned altogether. Or you could have gone ahead and got your liberals to say, well, we're not going to rule on it right now because it is a tax, and therefore, since it's a tax, we can't rule on it. And they'll save a bongo care for another day, rather than going ahead and destroying it. But you end up having, you end up having these so-called, Supreme Court judges like Kennedy. Goes ahead and rules that if a pig sees you walking a dog without a leash or jaywalking or something like that, he gets to go ahead and probe your anal cavities or your vagina, or in the case of Brian Rio and Noble Gender Bender, your mangina, without a search warrant. Really? Even though the Fourth Amendment says something else? Folks, it is essentially a joke to go ahead and claim the Supreme Court is going to go ahead and file the constipation and the Bill of Goods when essentially when their decisions are against the plain reading by ordinary people of the meaning of the constipation Bill of Goods. Now, folks, I've had these court cases myself here. My court case against Obongo was disallowed because they claimed, in part, that I hadn't served it, even though the local rule, well, not local rule, the federal rules of civil procedure say that when you're suing a state government entity, you go ahead and present it at the office of the chief executive officer of that entity. And for the state of Missouri, the chief operating officer is the governor. And this new judge claimed that I was supposed to go ahead and have the U.S. Marshal serve it. Well, why would a U.S. Marshal serving it mean anything more than having Roxy serve it? Did I not obey the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 4? It also said that when you go ahead and send a waiver of service, these people are supposed to go ahead and agree to it. And the nigger president and the nigger attorney general refused to go ahead and sign the waiver. Here you end up having a nigger attorney general who's supposed to go ahead and obey the law, but he obviously doesn't believe in obeying the law. He believes that his part is to go ahead and ignore when niggers go ahead and threaten white voters. His job, I guess, is to go ahead and run guns to the beaners. His job is to go ahead and dodge. His job is to go ahead and dodge. Oh, congressional contempt citations. That's what his job is to do. Yeah, I mean, why obey the law? Well, it's inconvenient to me. Now, on the other hand, you end up having the Republicans claiming that we need to go ahead and give them more power. In order to go ahead and overturn Obamacare, we need to go ahead and elect Mitt Romney, even though he did the same damn thing in Massachusetts. We're supposed to go ahead and elect some other pieces of shit, for the other party system here. And if we don't, it's all our fault that Obongo becomes president. Well, no, Congress, if it's a tax, then guess what? House of Representatives, you can refuse to collect that tax. You have the power now to go ahead and settle this matter. You have the power to go ahead and go after, Eric Holder, if you want to. You could just simply say as long as Eric Holder does not go ahead and resign, we're simply going to go ahead and give absolutely no money to the Department of Justice. I mean, if you're not going to go ahead and elect nigger gangbangers who threaten white voters, if you're going to go ahead and give guns to the beaners, if you're going to go ahead and refuse to essentially answer our questions, you're going to show us contempt. We're going to go ahead and show Justice Department. We're going to show you contempt. But more to the point, we're going to go ahead and show you no funding. Folks, I think it would do this country a good deal of good to simply refuse to pay the BATF, simply pay the salaries of the FBI, simply go ahead and refuse to pay, well, the United States prosecuting attorneys. Why, folks, what the hell have they done here? I know what they've done for the moment. They've gone ahead and essentially set up Edgar Steele. Now, you know, I've made my fun out of Edgar Steele. I'll grant that. But on the other hand, this horse shit about what they did to him, you know, and I've been reading the thread on VNNF here, and you have Don Pauly the Parrot going ahead and simply saying, Edgar Steele's nuts, Edgar Steele's nuts, Cindy Steele needs to go ahead and live in a shopping cart, she needs to go ahead and suffer. You know, we need to go ahead and let Edgar Steele go to visit his Ukrainian honey in the Ukraine called Tatiana or whatever her name is. And essentially, you know, you go ahead and let these tards run wild, they'll go ahead and show what they're about. But folks, Eric, you know, Holder, ObongoCare, all this shit could be turned down now by the Republicans. You end up having this guy named Aiken, who's running for United States Senator as a Republican. Well, as a senator, I'll go ahead and say something about being taxed. Well, I'll refuse to collect the tax. Well, guess what? You're now a Congress critter. You can refuse to pay this tax and collect this tax here through September. Whether or not you win the primary, you can go ahead and finish off ObongoCare as a Congress critter. You don't need to wait till you're in the Senate. No. We have all these people going ahead and pretend they're going to go ahead and do something for us. If only we go ahead and pay them first. We go ahead and give them power first. And they're going to go ahead and do something about the Democrats. The answers are not. What happens is they're both whores. They're both liars. I mean, the Republicans essentially have passed laws to where I cannot go ahead and run for United States Senator. I cannot go ahead and run for governor. I cannot go ahead and run for sheriff in Newton County. And they want to pretend that this is a legitimate government, that the elections mean something, that I or anybody else who believes as I do have any duty to support or pay for this regime. The answer is, what horseshit? What horseshit? Anyway, folks, let me go ahead and unmute a few people here. You know, guest number five here. Well, guest number five, I think it's a nimtard, not old gender bender here. Let's see here. Where is it here? Mitten's wife, yes, here. Okay. Have you read Luke 13, 1 through 5? Yeah, but not recently, and probably not the way you do, guest number 13 here. Let's see here. People from Austin's land give you orders, Martin. No. Let me see. Okay. Well, it doesn't really matter why. Doesn't really matter why they get to the show. I think, listening to it, you know, I know what you sound like in real life here, and it did sound sort of like you. I think, you know, you were well understood. The gravamen of what you were saying was understood. What, you know, you were saying that John Roberts was epileptic. And that was the reason why he may have gone ahead and done that. You've seen something in the liberal, you know, in the little liberal media. I mean, Andy, his segment was understandable. Now, the vast majority probably haven't heard Andy speaking to him for a while. I mean, Andy sounded a little bit like it, you know, his voice was gone through a voice recognition, you know, voice changing thing here. And folks, I think that was for the good, because essentially it shows that Harold Covington is careful about operational security. You go ahead, I mean, I go ahead and I look at Hadding, I go ahead and look at Wiggersquill, whining and pissing and moaning. But essentially, Covington makes fun of, a poor old Hadding the Meerkat. And, I mean, it's laughable. I don't think Evelyn Hill is actually going ahead and saying, "You're wonderful, Harold. You're wonderful." Now, I don't have any problem with Evelyn, you know, Evelyn, I think her last name was Hill. I never had any problem with her. Because, essentially, when I went ahead and wrote her a letter asking if it'd be okay to put some of these William Pierce's text messages on my webpage, she said, "Okay, as long as I don't change things, you can go ahead and give a link back." And I did so. So, I think Pierce had some actual intelligent followers, you know, and Evelyn Hill was one of them. But, you know, Hadding's just an idiot meerkat. Carolyn Yeager, she's just a screechy old twat here. Finkelstein's a lying sociopath, and I think he's a Jew. Last night, I was going ahead, and I was over on Elias. He was going to go ahead and cover the Book of Jasher, supposedly, again. I go ahead as, Finkelstein, I point out to him, I say, "I've been reading this book called, Pre-Flood Ancient History," or something like that, by this Judeo Wigger, who's a doctor called, what the hell was his name here? I go ahead and I give the link to the book. It's supposed to be what the hell are covering. And essentially what you end up having is you have old John Bapp and a whole bunch of other characters. It's not as insane as when Commandor McFag is in it. But essentially, all they're talking about is themselves. They're not talking about what Eli James is covering in Jasher. There's no intelligent questions asked about Eli James. And folks, I didn't really, you know, it went on to where Greg Howard and the rest here, when they weren't reading from the Book of Jasher, they're going ahead and covering all sorts of stuff except Jasher. Which is fine. I mean, it's fine to go ahead and wander around, but essentially the audience wasn't interested in learning about Jasher. There was not even a response to my question, which was pertinent, because this guy named, what the hell was his name here, with his book that came up, out. Essentially, it was 95% Book of Jasher. With a little bit of Josephus, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. But mainly it was Jasher. Here's Eli James and Greg Howard supposedly covering the first part of Jasher. And none of them are paying attention to what they're supposedly talking about at the time. At all. They're just going ahead and talking about a number of things except Jasher. Okay? So, let's see here. Alrighty. Okay. Let's see. Hadding isn't white? Well, I don't know if Hadding's white or not. Hadding, to me, sounds like a typical Wigger meerkat. Hadding does seem white. He just seems like 100% delusional Wigger tard. Okay. Looks like Joe Pennsylvania's here. Anyway, here. Well, what Eli and Greg were wrong on Scripture, the Book of Jasher is a Scripture. What it is it's, quote, Apocrypha, which parallels the Book of Genesis. It parallels it up to the time when Joshua pretty well conquered the land of Canaan. So it's not really Scripture. What the question I end up having to ask here, you know, and to be honest with you, I didn't really listen. I don't really listen to the, You know, yes, he liar, no, he liar, three bags full, he liar. You know, horseshit. And to be honest with you, now that Command Dork McFag pretty well left, what, 3 weeks ago? Because Eli James said that a pick was a, quote, dwarven Amorite. Why, you know, what I did catch was that essentially Dan Johns is demanding that Eli James go ahead and show up. And I said, well, what are you going to call it? You going to call it the Dan Johns, Steve Elder, Crohn's, you know, Crohn's Awareness Hotline show? The Book of Jasher isn't scripture. What it's used for is to go ahead, and what it should be used for is to confirm and to explain and to straighten up. It's to be used as an addendum. It's not to be used as the sole source here. It is useful for going ahead and comparing to Genesis. It's mainly Genesis, although it has a bit of the all five books of the Bible into about the, you know, the Book of Joshua. That's what it's useful for. You know, pretty well Genesis and the Book of Joshua are the one, main ones covered. It goes ahead and tells you what Moses was doing, you know, during the first 80 years of his life. Tells what Moses was doing the first couple years of his life. Once he reached the age of 17, 18, or 19, he supposedly went ahead and, you know, became a general in the Egyptian army and went ahead and married his Ethiopian woman wife here, who was the queen, and didn't have any kids by her. And essentially, it's a useful book, but it's not actually the Bible. But here I am. I go ahead and ask a question about this book, which is making the rounds. It's what? It's number 100 in the Amazon Prime, which means you can go ahead and borrow it for free. It's around 98, 99, 100, 101, something like that. It's around 100 in the Prime, the way you can go ahead and borrow it for a month. You can borrow one book a month if you go ahead and get a Prime membership. So I got a Prime membership using my Amazon Kindle. And so I was going ahead and pretty well looking at it. I'll probably go ahead and buy the book, either for Kindle or for, let's see if I can go ahead and find this book here. Amazon.com. Nope, that's not what I want. Okay. Let me see. I'm a little bit worried here because, folks, I don't know if some of you, noticed this here, but supposedly there's supposed to be a few servers which go down tonight. Okay. All right. Looks like Trash Can Man left the thing here. Let's see here. Yeah, wow, that's true here. He did leave here. Burwell McFag has left, you know, Eliers here, okay? Well, folks, nobody really messed McBragg except me. I went ahead and Finkelstein and said, went ahead and told Eliers, says, this place is not worth trolling now that McBragg is no longer here to demand that everyone be censored. It just ain't no fun no more. And it ain't. Let me see here. Anyway, well, it don't matter to me, Frankenwigger. Okay, would you consider this guy to be white here? Let me see here. I have an idea who, you know, okay, I have a pretty good idea who Red Supporter is here. well, folks, you know, I don't consider old Pluto to be white, or Pluto, you know, Pluto Zimmermanser, or Pluto, or whatever. I don't consider June Stain to be white. You got a bunch of people in the Manserville I don't consider to be white. The guy you're showing, I consider to be relatively harmless, although annoying to some. Okay? Well, it's, you know, freedom of speech is a lot better off with Brad gone. What's funny, though, is that once he left here and he wasn't whining and pissing and moaning for people to be banned, all of a sudden it was no longer nearly as much fun to troll, you know, Eli James. I mean, pretty well 90% of the fun of trolling is getting your ass blocked, is getting your ass banned and sneaking back on here under a different, you know, alias. And then getting that one blocked or banned. And then having one which you go ahead and you save the chat here, which essentially behaves itself, and you're going ahead and taking screenshots. I mean, the fun of trolling is listening to people bitch. It really is here. The fun of trolling is listening to Tards bitch here. I mean, you know, sort of like, you know, sort of variation of if a tree goes ahead and falls in the forest and no one hears it, won't make a sound. And the answer is, yeah, it'll make a sound, but what difference does it make? It's the same thing is that if you're going ahead and trolling a tard corral and no tard bitches and even notices that you're trolling it, will it be as much fun to go ahead and troll tards when essentially you're not being, you know, blocked or banned? And the answer is, it's not nearly as much fun. It's not nearly as much fun as when you, you know, essentially are getting away with something. You know what I mean? Now I go ahead and I use that as a sort of means of I sort of got derailed on my train of thought here. Folks, I do like going ahead. Part of the fun is listening to Wiggers and Namzoo squeal and Jew Boys squeal. I mean, going ahead and getting a reaction here, why, if they're not even paying attention to you, it's sort of a hell of a deal. I mean, you sort of feel like you're sort of kicking on Eli James. Essentially, that's why Eli James is far more dangerous. I mean, he actually can impersonate a human being. You know, think of Sheeny can't. It is not nearly as much fun trolling Eli James, you know, now that McBragg is gone. You know what I mean? The fun in trolling Finkelschini, I mean, Finkelschini, he just goes ahead and he has this thing locked down. He has it, you know, locked down tighter than he wished his anus was, you know, back in the days he was in administrative segregation, Finkelschini does. Not near as much fun. Not near as much fun. You know, when you go ahead and you hear some squealing. Okay? Let's see here. Alrighty here. Yeah. Yes, the real check. check from Vancouver, Washington, U.S. You went ahead and blocked the crap out of me last night here. You behave yourself. See, I'm not going to block guest number 6. You know what I mean? Where was I here? Okay, let's see here. What about Revelations 20? Nothing symbolic in that chapter here. Finkelschini goes ahead and claims, I mean, you go ahead, I used to listen to Eli, and, you know, the last show, really, it was in December of 2010. It was the last show which Eli James and Fink essentially did together. And it was about the Book of Revelations. And here they were, in order to go ahead and claim that Revelations 20 about the, you know, the millennium, Satan being bound for 1,000 years, occurred at AD 500, In short, they had to go ahead and make sure that Revelations, what, 4 through 20 occurred before AD 500 or so. And so here they were claiming, Eli James and Fink were claiming that the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, which is identified as famine, pestilence, war, and death, were actually Gaius Marius, you know, Felix Sulla, Julius Caesar, and Mark Antony, all of whom lived anywhere from 130 to 180 years before John of Patmos sat down and wrote something. Why would John of Patmos write something about what had occurred 130 to 180 years before? Answer, he wouldn't. It was about the end times. And so you go ahead and you hear these so-called Christian identity pastors claiming this here. It's sort of like, well, Joe Pennsylvania was there when we were going ahead and essentially how Canaan became Canaan was a Jew boy because his daddy Ham was screwed his mother, Noah's wife. And because daddy was a motherfucker, that meant that Canaan was, grandson was a Jew boy. Even though he's from, two Whigger parents who are committing incest. Well, no. Incest don't make you into a kike. It makes you into an incestuous Whigger. And Eli James is going ahead, essentially, and cutting at the very heart of dual seed line Christianity, because dual seed line Christianity holds that Jews are the spawn of Satan. And that, most of these Jews are, quote, descended from Canaan. But there were some, like, Commander McBragg, who were pre-flood, pre-flood Tubal Cainites, who never had the flood. And essentially, here's Eli James going ahead and disavowing what he's supposed to be avowing as a so-called Christian, dual seed line Christian identity pastor here. And you go ahead and you listen to these retards, and essentially, these people don't know what they were talking about. Now, I've gone to some of these, like in May of 1999, I went to a Christian identity, went to a Christian identity conference or something like that, and they had about 8 or 9 ministers, and more of them were Baptists, really, with a little bit of a Christian identity message here. And really, very few of them were actually Christian day. Most of them were just Baptists of some sort, who knew a little bit about it. And folks, I've gone ahead and seen that. And I don't have a problem. You got to understand is that Christian identity is decentralized. And Pastor Butler did a good thing, I believe, for the survival of the church by going ahead and reaching out to criminals and bikers and vermin and idiots. Because the real church went underground. And since it went underground, you will end up having a number of heresies like Ephraim Scepter and Sacred Name and all this sort of thing. I don't really like calling them heresies because that means that the people who follow them are, quote, heretics, and I don't like using that word. What they are is they're people who have all sorts of notions, none of which are actually Christian identity, in my opinion, or that they have crept in. But let's say you're a white, you're a white person. You go ahead and you listen and you obey as best you can Jesus Christ here. Do I believe that you will go ahead and see paradise even if you do not exactly understand Christian identity? And the answer is, I believe you will. In our relationship with Jesus Christ. And there really is no call for a professional clergy. The main reason I became a pastor is that I've seen so many lying retards claiming to be a pastor that I said, I can do a better job than these idiots. After I went ahead and seen what Morris Gillette was doing, going ahead and getting, well, essentially being a drunken crackhead, claiming to be Aryan Nations, claiming to be this or that here, and getting in trouble and taking other people with them. Folks, I don't worry too much here. As I look at it here, let's say you don't agree with me. Does that mean you're going to go to hell because you don't agree with me? Hell no, it don't mean any such thing here. There's a lot of people who do not like me, and maybe they have a good reason to do so. I don't like saying that just because you don't agree with this particular doctrine or this particular aspect of Christian identity that you are a heretic and therefore you are to be punished or anything like that here. The answer is no, that's not our way. I remembered when people come in and start censoring people, I mean, the shock was, how dare you do that? How can you do something like that? How can you go ahead and censor or be mean to a brother in the church? And the answer is that, no, you don't do that. Now, am I mean to Jeremy Visser? Hell yes, because he's a lying man's a criminal. Am I mean to Obagender Bender? Yeah. A lying anonymous Jew man's a criminal. Am I mean to Mumps Nuts Liar Belly Clueless? Well, he ain't a Mamser. He's white. He's a stupid piece of shit criminal, Zogbot, and a liar and a delusional tard. Yeah, mean to characters who essentially don't have any redeeming qualities, and that includes racial qualities. But your average white in our underground church, you know, I may think you're a little bit strange. If, you know, like one congregation you went to, and essentially they, 90, about 80%, 85% of their stuff was, when you call me, then call me, Yahweh, essentially a sacred name. Okay, fine. Now, do they understand, no, you're not supposed to eat pork, yes, you're supposed to keep Sabbath, yes, you're supposed to keep the feast days as best you can. You're supposed to do this and supposed to do that. Yes. I mean, their main thing was sacred name. Am I going to go ahead and give them a hard time? Well, no. No. My dad went ahead and went to that church, and he listened for 2 hours to the guy talk about, when you call me, then call me Yahweh. And essentially, the minister will say, okay, what do you think about this, Brother Richard? And Brother Richard said, well, it was two hours of rather interesting horseshit, but I still think it was horseshit. And the minister's wife, you know, he was a part-time minister here. That's sacrilege. And, you know, essentially the minister went ahead and just laughed it off here. You know, my dad never went back again. I mean, you know, it was okay. They were nice people. And we used to, me and my brother used to haul hay for them. Not on Saturday, of course, but we used to haul hay for them. They were good people. Ran a dairy farm. Good people. And, you know, yeah, I mean, here on the edge of the Ozarks, you have a lot of Christian identity people. And they don't all together agree with each other. But when you are in their congregation, when you are in their house, you don't go ahead and tell them what to do or how to do it, just as they return the favor, and they don't go ahead and pretend that they're the ones who get to determine what you do. Folks, the people who understand Christian identity, they're easy people to go ahead and get along with. That's why one of Russ's friends here said that she could not see having a picnic with Brian Rio or with Fink or with any of these other mams or tars because, you know, they thought, well, hell, you'd probably have a killing or two within the first half hour. And the answer is you would. These people don't belong. And what the purpose of this show is to go ahead and do is pretty well comment upon how a lot of people who pretend to be something they're not don't belong. When you have someone who does belong, And even though he doesn't agree with you altogether, you go ahead and understand this is a person who is somewhat different from you, has a different outlook in some cases. But for 85% of the time, you're going to be in agreement. You get to where you don't go ahead and look for the 15% of disagreements, but rather for the 85% of agreement. And you still understand the 15% where you disagree, but you don't need to be disagreeable. This movement of ours needs to be decentralized. I think Carol Covington understands that. He's looking for some alphas, as he called, people who are able to go ahead and make the decision for themselves here. And he doesn't really have anybody, I guess, he thinks, who can go ahead and speak for him exactly. Okay. What is he doing? He's going ahead and setting up people to go ahead and do it by themselves as they see fit. He'll go ahead and just essentially go along with it as long as they don't go too far off the reservation. And that's the way it should be. Our movement needs to be decentralized. It isn't about people going ahead and telling others what to do. And that's what it says in the Bible. He says that your best leaders will be those who serve their people, serve their flock. That's who the best leaders, that's who the greatest among in the kingdom of heaven are, is who is the greatest servant. It is written that Moses was the meekest of men. Moses didn't think he was special, even though he was. In case, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take another break. I've been yakking for, 47 minutes? So it's time for another break, folks. Hail victory.
Look at me, I'm April Gady, horny as a skank can be. I'll gobble your cock if you're an Aryan rock. Sure enough, I'm April Gady.
Thump it! Hey, I'm Wigger Swill.
Beat my hogs like Buffalo Bill. Slap all them skanks, don't expect me no thanks. Long as I do get my fill.
I don't wait, no prayer, don't be lost, give me care. I get full for one blue job.
Get your mamzer paws on my silky jaws. You can't pull that crap with a net. As for you, Hal Covington, I know what you don't want done. Don't want pussy crust, I'm no object of lust. I'm just old April Gady.
Cowsy, cowsy, let me be. Says keep that poontang far from me.
See, I cool, now I'm starting to drool.
Can't forget, I'm April Gady.
Are you making fun of me, Pope Marty?
Some people are so fucking touchy.
Okay, folks, I'm back. I'm sort of watching the premiere of the black and white version of The Walking Dead.
From what I gather, they're actually having, niggers get to work playing zombies around Atlanta or something like that here. Supposedly it was filmed around old Atlanta. I'm quite sure old Pisser Possum would look good as a little rat-faced little zombie or something like that here. Anyway, where was I? There really hasn't been much going on this past week here other than same old, same old. You had for a short time, you had the Free Edgar Steele people, Bob Magnuson, get on the VNNF thread to where here was, essentially they were fighting with old Don Pauley.
and they fought for a short time here. You had a rather level-headed female from Great Britain point out, like saying, well, guess what? Let's say Edgar Steele was going ahead and wanting to get himself something fresh from the Ukraine. Just because a man is wanting to cheat on his wife doesn't mean that he's going to want to murder his wife at all. And you have Don Pauly insisting Edgar Steele was insane as a result of aorta surgery. He's insane, he's insane, he's insane, he's insane. Insisting and insisting and insisting upon that. And, well, this Robert Magnuson was saying, well, that's just your opinion. And that is just, you know, Don Pauly's opinion. Haven't heard anything about Edgar Steele, but essentially they were going ahead and fighting on VNNF, and they went ahead and left it to old Don Pauly. And Don Pauly was essentially insisting and insisting that, yes, Edgar Steele is crazy. He wants to go ahead and support Edgar Steele, but he wants to go ahead and make sure that Cindy Steele is, you know, living out of a shopping cart because she's trying to betray Edgar Steele, while they all ought to listen to Don Pauly. And you have all these little tards with their own little belief that only their way is the only way to go ahead and do things. I went ahead and looked. I've been going ahead and looking at the Carolyn Yeager show. Why, they have Hatting the Meerkat, and they're essentially going through chapters of The International Jew by Henry Ford. And maybe when they get done from that, they'll read sections from the Tel Aviv phone book, for all you know. But you have all these people, and what they are is they're aligning themselves. Now, what Oba Genderbender tried to do was get in good with Harold Covington by getting down on this Rocky Sedaya for saying that Harold Covington is fat. Okay, well, Harold Covington is fat. What, you know, what difference does that make? What difference does that make? But here you have Oba Genderbender going ahead and pissing and moaning about this Rocky Sedaya. And Anchorage activist goes ahead and, you know, chews on Oba Genderbender's ass. And then old Mumps Nuts tries to go ahead, and me too, and essentially goes ahead and chews on Mumps Nuts' ass. And pretty well uses my webpage and my history of Oba Genderbender and Mumps Nuts to go ahead and do that. Folks, I have a detailed listing from real life time of Jeremy Visser's thieving, have a real-life listing from real-time about all the stupid crap in the movement here. Liar Bill, Oba Genderbender, and folks, if you want to go to Sci-Fi Faber, Morris Galette, if you want to go ahead and read it from the very beginning, you can do so. Or you can go ahead and pass on it. Does it really matter? What I don't seem to understand, well, I do understand, why in the world people even go through the motions? Why do they even go through the pretense here? All it is every little tard trying to go ahead and expand its own little tard corral. It's factionalization. Now, don't get me wrong, I do believe in, well, decentralization. What I don't believe is that all these idiots get to go ahead and make any of the decisions involved at all. So, let's see here. Yeah, let's see here. Well, folks, it might have here. What I don't understand is why Don Pauly believes that an insanity plea is going to work. Folks, I've seen a bunch of people who essentially did plead NGRI. You know, heck, my first nigger roommate over at Goldman. He went ahead and he sodomized his 8-year-old nigger niece. He was a nigger, of course, unlike Liar Bill DeClueless. Went ahead and sodomized his little nigglet niece. He went ahead and she was going to go ahead and whine and tell mommy. So, he went ahead and knocked her over the head. And so, essentially, niggers and sodomy and murder, just par for the course here. What did he end up doing? Well, then he went ahead and, we got him to a nut house. Well, essentially, taking a few tender vittles off an old Shaniqua and munching them raw. That's what got him sent to the nut house. And when he came down to it, pretty well, the prosecuting attorney wasn't going to go ahead and contest it. He was allowed to plea NGRI. Folks, if you want to go ahead, if you have the prosecuting attorney willing to go ahead and say that you are essentially insane, you have to get the prosecuting attorney to go ahead and agree to it. If you don't have the prosecuting attorney agreeing to it, you're going to get screwed. Old Jerry Spence went ahead, and I read one of his books here where he had this beaner who went ahead and killed his girlfriend. And essentially, he just told him, okay, we're going to go ahead and I want, whatever you do, I want you to just go ahead and look down at your shoes. Don't look up. Don't look at anybody. Just look down at your shoes. Essentially, and he got this murdering spick off, for being insane against the wishes of the prosecuting attorney in Wyoming. Okay? I'm not saying you can't go ahead and claim you're insane without the collusion of the prosecutor. That's hell hard as hell to do so. Don Pauley wouldn't go ahead and get anywhere. Now, maybe the prosecutor would just simply say, all right, I'd be glad to say that Edgar Steele's nuts if you'll say he's nuts or something like that. But that wasn't what Edgar Steele's going to say. Edgar Steele's going to say, I have been set up by Zog. Oh, by the way, we don't have the original recording. We can't go ahead and give you the original recording. Folks, it's far easier to believe that Edgar Steele was set up. Now, 2 years ago, I told Jim Giles, well, hey, to me, it doesn't matter where Edgar Steele's guilty or not. To me, it's just a matter of which side you're on. It didn't really matter. It wouldn't matter to me if Edgar Steele got found with the wife of his head and his mother-in-law's head and Morris D's head and a couple of nigger heads and Jew heads, walking down the street in the middle of Sagal and got arrested by the town marshal, if there was one. Why, hey, Edgar Steele's been set up. To me, Edgar Steele's automatically innocent. Whether he is or not. It's to me all a matter of sides. And, here was Jim Giles screaming and screaming and screaming for 3 weeks in a row, trying to prove that Edgar Steele was guilty and then lying. But no. If Edgar Steele can prove himself innocent, I'll go ahead and go along with it. Well, I got tired of that shit, so I called him in. And we had some Jerry Springer type radio. And I had Jim Giles screaming that he wanted to snap Jim Giles' neck. You jackass. You jackass. You're a dozen years or more younger than Edgar Steele, a lot more fitter than a sick lawyer who essentially has been locked up for a couple weeks just after open heart surgery. And you want to go ahead and, claim that you really don't have nothing against him? Well, no. Admit that you don't like the bastard and you want to go ahead and be one of those who want to persecute Edgar Steele. And essentially, I got Jim Giles to scream that he wanted to snap Edgar Steele's neck. And then when he got tired of screaming, I went ahead and said, well, a lot of people think you're an informant. Well, he did admit to being an informant. He went ahead and admitted to writing a letter to a prosecuting attorney on one of the tards around Bill White, so he screamed at me for about 12 minutes. And then he went ahead and cut me off and hung up, and he was mad. But hey, I pretty well just put the little kibosh on Jim Giles' against Edgar Steele-thon. You know what I mean? Well, here, it's Don Pauley. He's going to admit that what he wants to see is that he wants to see essentially Edgar Steele free, but on Don Pauly's horseshit about Edgar Steele being insane, and he wants to see Cindy Steele ruined. Because she's a gold digger, and essentially paying lawyers was altogether a fraud. Well, folks, I do believe that was a waste of time to go ahead and hire a lawyer. That's why I got the fun part of 3.5 years in jail or the nut house, simply because I wouldn't accept a public pretender for free, much less one that I'd pay for. Piss on having a lawyer. I didn't do it. Folks, my entire purpose, you have old Upset Bear whining. Oh, you can't go ahead and exterminate, skin alive, and run through a wood chipper, the children of regime criminals? That wouldn't be nice. Well, what the fuck did they do to my children? My grandchildren. They went and bought and sold them. They destroyed my family. That's what Zog does. And unless you are willing to go ahead and exterminate every Jew, every Whigger traitor, and their children. Folks, I would love to go ahead and see the children of a Whigger regime criminal being told that they've got to go ahead and die. They've got to go ahead and go through the wood chipper. They've got to be skinned alive for the sins of their fathers who went ahead and destroyed another human life here. I remember, when was it, November 2004, I go ahead and see the fat, dangling mestizo daughters of this piece of shit called Grace Wheaton, and I tell them, is that, hey, don't be whining. Well, essentially, they are raped as a matter of regime policy for what their piece of shit daddy had to do with going ahead and falsely arresting me while I was trying to go ahead, essentially, and film this miscarriage of justice to where they're still my children here. I said, look, your daughters need to be publicly raped for what the hell you've gone ahead and gone along with as a policeman in destroying my family. I told them that in the Walmart. Oh, hell, had the little Anglo Mestizo girls whining and crying here because they knew that essentially their daddy had done wrong and they would have to pay for it. No, folks, I've never said anything other than I hate the people who are destroying our race and our people. And if you're going to go ahead and give them a free pass, that means that you're on the wrong side. You need to go ahead and live with what you have done. I have seen plenty of people go ahead, essentially, what am I going to do? I mean, essentially, I can't go ahead and control my children because they've been taught in school that they don't have to obey their dad or their mother. Now, essentially, what happens living in fear of their own children is going to pull a little Pavel Milosevic or whatever the hell the name was of the little bastard who went ahead and denounced his grandparents for hoarding grain. Folks, way back, what was it, 3,800 years ago? No, wait, let me see. 2,800 years ago, during the time of Isaiah in chapter 3, verse 19, I believe, said that women and children are their oppressors. Folks, you had pussy-whoop dolts 3,800 years ago. You had pussy-whoop dolts 5,000 years ago. You had a pussy whoop dolt 7,000 years ago named Adam. He went ahead and essentially had to pay for what his pussy was doing, screwing serpents, i.e. Satan. He was a cuckold and a pussy, Adam was. We're having to live with this. We're having to live with essentially what our ancestors did, what our ancestors allowed. And the only time there's been freedom is when essentially the ones in charge are made to pay for their crimes. There are some people like Jeremy Visser, born evil. Last night over on Nimbusters, Mighty Chumma. Visser knows what the truth is. Visser keeps on yapping the lies here. What I gotta laugh about, though, is that here is Visser. You know, here's Visser essentially reduced on one of the shows to where it's just Visser speaking and me trolling. There's two people in Visser's chat room. Visser and me. Asking, well, where's Bridget the Idiot? What's he doing? I imagine Bridget the Idiot is either in Washington or, like I say, working the truck stop. No. These people, as time goes on, as they get outed, as they get marginalized, well, there's nothing for them to do. Nothing for them to do at all. They're caught. They're outed. Just like old Liar Bill. He was on here as long as I wasn't really paying attention. I was busy going ahead and doing a few chores at the start of the show. 15 minutes. Old Visser's running around whining about how he wants his books back. Well, folks, I guess he wasn't, if he was going to become one of my ministers, he was supposed to go ahead and do some useful stuff as one of my ministers, so he needed something that would go ahead and work here. And since he was too stupid to bring his computer and learn internet espionage, we needed to have a printer. And so as a result, go ahead and leave your books here, and we'll just go ahead and exchange the books for this printer. And now, I went, previously went ahead and claimed that I stole his printer. I mean, that's the way old Mumpsnuts is. One minute he claims I stole his printer, the next minute he claims I stole his books by giving them a crappy printer that he wants to exchange. But previously, he can't keep his lies, straight by claiming that I stole his printer. Once people reveal themselves as liars and fools and frauds and mamsers, pretty well, it's over for them. There's nothing much more left, is there? Huh? Going to do the bump and grind on you? Yeah, well, Mumpsnuts can go ahead and claim a lot of stuff here. Mumpsnuts like all these other tards here. And anytime you're in the movement, you will have some tard claim that he wants to go ahead and challenge you to a duel. Hell, I've even had Cynthia Keen. Cynthia Keen from Springfield, I think. She's a Mamsers. I'm gonna challenge you to a duel. Okay, alrighty, Heifer. Mamser Heifer, you wanna go ahead and challenge me to a duel? Tit ringing at zero paces here, using this old Maytag tit ringer here, washing machine that Opal, the old lady used to own the house across the street had, still has here. We'll go ahead and drag out the old washing machine and plug it in, and you go first here on the tit ringing. And for some reason, she didn't want to do that. Mumpsnuts doesn't want to come down here and face the option of gelding knives at zero paces in my living room. I don't even see what, I mean, when he was sitting here puking up a perfectly good, plate of spaghetti, me and Roxy ate it. Poopy Dog had a little bit of that. Of course, Poopy Dog can eat most anything. He likes moldy cheese real good, too, here. He likes eating about everything except for orange peels. He don't like orange peels at all. He will not eat orange peels. But Mumpsnuts was probably scared that I was going to detect him as a liar and a crook and beat his ass here. He thinks I'm a sociopath. A lot of people think I'm a sociopath. Does it really matter? No. Folks, we got to understand that evil people need to pay for the evil they do. And you can be an evil person just by going along with evil people. For example, we're going to go ahead and do a little bit of Bible study here. Talking about some Amorites. We're going to go ahead and go to 2 Samuel. Let me see. 2 Samuel. And this was after 2 Samuel chapter 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered this for Saul, for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. Okay, who are the Gibeonites? Verse 2, and the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. What happens, these Amorites were these, you know, these Gibeonites were these Amorites who'd pulled a fast one under the law of war, to where if they were a white nation and they surrendered, they would become the slaves of the children of Israel for three generations, until they became Israelites. But these Amorites who'd pulled the fast one, since they were of Canaan, they were never to be released from their slavery. They were to be slaves forever. They had gone ahead in the book of Judges during the days of Phinehas, the high priest, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the grandson of Aaron, had gone ahead probably within 50 years, essentially, and they had been turned loose from their captivity in the tribe of Benjamin, and there had been the first Israelite civil war between the rest of Israel and Benjamin, to where women and children and everyone who lived within the cities and the tribe of Benjamin were put to death altogether under Yahweh's law. Entire sinning tribes were put to death, and that included women and children. But here it is said that essentially Saul, because he was a Benjamite and was very annoyed at these Gibeonites for being the cause of losing a civil war, had gone ahead and found a way to kill these Jews, these Canaanites, these Amorites, these Gibeonites. And Yahweh went ahead and forced the famine. Now, who died in the famine? Not David. Not the rich. But rather, probably the poor people, the poor whites, went ahead and died in the famine. 3 years. Year after year. Don't you think David went ahead and asked of Yahweh, what's up, Lord? Why are you mad? Why are you sending no rains? Why is there a drought? You don't think he didn't ask the first year? You don't think he didn't ask the second year? You think he waited 3 years? And the answer is no. So Yahweh didn't answer for 3 years, did he? In any case, verse 3. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? So David asked them, hey, what can I do to make it right, so there won't be no more famine, no more drought? Verse 4, and the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver, nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shall you kill any man in Israel. Don't go ahead and kill anybody else other than the regime criminal, Saul, and his family. We don't want money. And David said, what shall you say that I will, you know, what do you want? That will I do for you? Verse 5, and they answered the king, the man that consumed us and advised against us that we should be destroyed against remaining in any of the coasts of Israel. Verse 6, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up until the Lord and Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. Verse 7. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Verse 8. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Arai, who she bared unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Micah, the daughter of Saul, the ex-wife, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite, and delivered them into the sons of the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together, and they were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. And then it goes ahead and says about how this woman went ahead and kept the birds and the dogs from eating these seven sons and five grandsons of Saul, the ex-wife of David. Now maybe David had a reason for going ahead and getting rid of the sons of his ex-wife and her husband. Verse 11, it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And he went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan from the men of Jabesh Gilead. They were people who didn't go against the tribe of Benjamin, and whose daughters, who were all killed, and whose daughters were given to 400 of the surviving troops of Benjamin in the book of Judges. He went ahead and he took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan's son and gathered the bones of them who were hanged, those of them that were hanged, verse 13. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan's son burned they in the country of Benjamin in Zillah, in the sepulchre of Kish's father, and they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. So let's go ahead and see what you see as far as godly government in 2 Samuel chapter 21. These Jews were killed because the king of that day had gone ahead and broken a deal made by deceit, granted, with the children of the Amorites, between the children of Israel and the children of the Amorites. It was a deal of deception. It was a deal of lies. But folks, even the children of Jews, dangerous Jews, Jews who were blonde, blue-eyed, and able to impersonate Israelites, or at least impersonate white men. You see, if you go ahead and look at it, that's why I go ahead and believe that Adam was not the first white man, because the first white man was a soul. That's why I believe what I believe. Folks, the white men could go ahead and be brought in to the house of Israel. Now, initially, they wouldn't be brought in. They would have rather low status. But after a time spent as slaves, they would go ahead and be brought in to the house of Israel after three generations. No longer slaves, they would be Israelites. But not these Jews. They were supposed to always be the slaves. They were allowed to live because of a deal they'd made. But here's Yahweh. He goes ahead and he punishes Saul and Saul's house, the ruling house here. And these Amorites asked for the blood of Saul's sons and grandsons. And they got it. And Yahweh went ahead and enforced that. So I have a question here. If I, as a servant of Yahweh, go ahead and demand the lives of the children of regime criminals, the lives of the children of policemen, the lives of the children of social workers, the lives of the children of judges and lawyers, and this has taken place as a means of going ahead and having civil war, and Yahweh goes ahead and brings them up to me, who gets to go ahead and say that I can't go ahead and demand whatever justice I want. If I choose to forgive, I can forgive. If I don't, I don't here. No, folks. What I want is just like with Jeremy Visser last night here. Where in the Bible does it say you get to torture the children of regime criminals? Where does it say that? Torture and rape them. Where does it say that? I said, Jeremy, where does it say I can't? Jeremy didn't have an answer. He just said, oh, look in the book of Leviticus. Really? Oh, where in Leviticus? I have an idea where it says in Leviticus, but it said that the children of a ordinary criminal was not responsible for the sins of their fathers. But folks, if you're a regime criminal who is destroying the very nation, just like every evil empire has done here, is it not better that the children of a corrupt, Judaized regime be destroyed rather than that they should go ahead and destroy the ordinary people like they have done? In the case of Rome, like they have done in pretty well every empire which has ever existed, every white empire, unless it has been cut short by foreign invasion, has gone ahead and destroyed its own founding stock. And Rome is a prime example of it. The reason the history of Rome is pretty well known is during the Republican Civil Wars, lasting from around, pretty well 85 BC, lasting until Augustus Caesar put the last of them down with destroying Antony and Cleopatra around, 30 BC. Essentially, you end up having a 50-60-year-old civil war of late Republican Rome. And what was happening is that you end up having, really in 133, you had the Gracchi who have been called traitors to their own class. Folks, the Gracchi were actually conservatives who were saying, if we destroy the Roman family, if we destroy the Roman soldier, farmer soldier, we will no longer have the means to continue to defeat Carthage or to defeat Macedonia or to defeat any enemy, be it the Gauls, be it the Germans, be it anyone. We need to go ahead and maintain our nation, our racial nation, and essentially if that means that a rich, stupid, corrupt senator doesn't get as much money as he wants, because some of it is used to go ahead and grow up the sons and daughters of our own people, well then so be it. And because of that, the stupid senators went ahead and destroyed these reformers who were simply saying, let's save our people. Right now, our people are being destroyed. Our people being overrun by niggers and beaners and, you know, destroyed by Jews. Essentially, our economy is being killed. I'm reading this book about 13 bankers, 13 banks, about how essentially they got to where they would go ahead and make loans and buy and sell derivatives. And whenever that it was profitable, they would go ahead and take the profits and give the bonuses to themselves. And whenever it wasn't profitable, the taxpayer would pay for it. They would privatize gains and they would socialize losses. And that's what these criminals did. That's what these criminals did time after time after time. And they're still doing it. And we're wondering, oh, what is this? Why? Has our social order collapsed? Why don't we have any money? Why is this happening? And the answer is because it's being allowed. Folks, there is nobody representing the white people at all. And that includes among white nationalism. The only thing that's going to save us just like the only thing that was going to go ahead and get David's attention. He was quite listening. He listened to God, Yahweh. But after he went ahead and disobeyed Yahweh, went ahead and took the wife of another man, went ahead and, well, essentially took for himself what didn't belong to him. Once he acted like a thief and he used the power to go ahead and murder this man, folks, it goes ahead in 2 Samuel verse 21 says that even a Canaanite who has a claim upon Israel has a right to justice. Now, folks, I'm not a friend of Canaanites. I'm not a friend of Jews. I'm not a friend of Mamzers. I'm not. But on the other hand, I certainly am not a friend to traitors. I'm not a friend to thieves. I'm not a friend to liars among our own people. We must understand that before we can go ahead and, you know, folks, I've never been a fan of going ahead and having wars in other countries where we did not belong. These Palestinians, although, you know, a lot of them are descended from Canaanites, essentially the quote Holy Land is an unholy land because it was where Christ was murdered by Jews. It's an unholy land. And what Yahweh did is he gave it to these Canaanites. He went ahead and gave it to these Ishmaelites. He went ahead and gave it to these other people who had no call to it. Now that the Judeans, the white Judeans, were scattered abroad and taken away. No call to it whatsoever. So now, since by default the Israelites are in America, Australia, Canada, Europe, and that's where we do belong. Folks, I have seen no point in running around and having wars, foreign wars, which have gone ahead and destroyed the substance, gone ahead and destroyed the families. My point is that if you are a regime criminal, you work for the police, you work for the IRS, you work for the FBI, you work for the Department of Justice, you go ahead, you're a social worker who believes in stealing children, you believe in buying and selling white children, why in the world is your family sacrosanct? Is it because you believe that you were born? Like Thomas Jefferson said, that some people think that they were born mounted and, you know, booted and spurred to go ahead and ride over a suffering humanity. No, folks, you're not special, other than you're stupider and more evil than most here. Folks, if Uyghurs who are going ahead and collaborating with Jews to destroy white people can't go ahead and keep the golden goose that lays the golden eggs, i.e. a white civilization, you can't really expect them to go ahead and treat the non-whites, the blacks, anybody else any better. Chapter 21 of Samuel says that when a people give their word, they're bound by it. They were bound by it. And therefore, they couldn't go ahead and destroy these Amorites like Saul wanted to do. Folks, I really, really supported Saul going ahead and killing these Gibeonites. But Saul went ahead and had to pay with his life, and he had to pay with his children's life, his great-great-grandchildren's life, for that crime. And David did go ahead and play his favorites. He went ahead and played favorites with the children of his friend, Jonathan, who, if you go ahead and look, was at odds with his own father and was nearly put to death with his own father for starting a skirmish with the Philistines. Anyway, folks, I've been yakking for about 30 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and take yet another break. Hail victory, folks. Okay, I'm back here. In any case, folks, let's see here. Someone's going ahead and asked me if I ever met Mike Calamore. The answer is, yeah, I met him in March of 1999. Or not March, May of 1999. For some reason, my hip has sort of kicked in. And I was sort of, on crutches. And, I bought my granddaughter Helen. She was, what, 3? Went ahead and played with this guy named Kelsey's daughters here, and he was sort of affiliated with old Maggie Bell Bitch Butts here. But yeah, I met Mike Calamore, and what I did is I bought the Kingdom Identity Ministries AIT Correspondence Course. Mike Calamore's there. Mike Calamore's a white guy here. He'd be a little bit old. Well, he'd be what? Oh, older than what he was back in 1999, obviously, here. He was rather fit, blue-eyed white man. I mean, we had white hair. He was in, I think, his early 60s or so here. Met Peter's pet Jew, Charles Weissman, and Charles Weissman looked like a Jew. This was Everett Ramsey's, he was out of Houston. And folks, most of these Christian identity or conferences, what they're held by is that for the better part of a year, you get a Christian identity pastor. He wants to go ahead and hold a conference, so he goes ahead and he advertises it by word of mouth. This was, advertised quasi-internet, but really not really internet. Mainly it was by the old-fashioned way of word of mouth and telephone and fax and, other stuff. It wasn't, it was about maybe 30, about a third internet. The rest of it was the old-fashioned, way of going ahead and doing things. And essentially I found out about that, and usually I'm not much of a morning person. I go ahead and load up Helen. The problem is that addition, I had a Cutlass Supreme Oldsmobile, two doors, and both doors didn't work. So here I am with screwed up leg on crutches, having to crawl in like the Dukes of Hazzard into this Oldsmobile. With tendonitis, it sort of hurt to crawl in that way. I go ahead and drive, 80 miles to Springfield. Gas was cheap back then. Take Helen with me. She'd go ahead and play with the little girls of, these other people here. And I'd go ahead and listen to these various misses. I'd miss the ones in the morning. And essentially, most of them really weren't Christian identity, in my opinion. They weren't even one seed like Christian identity. They were a bunch of, mainly Baptists, in my opinion. But I didn't say as much here. And you had a few interesting sermons. Sort of like Herbert Armstrong's church used to be, because essentially for about, 3-4 days you'd go ahead and have them. And I went there, essentially, and I seen Charles Weissman, the Jew boy, and I went ahead and met Mike Hallamore. And essentially he'd gone ahead and raised up to $100, but I managed to go ahead and get it under the old price of $75. So I met Mike Hallamore. And Mike Hallamore was negotiating with Everett Ramsey as to whether or not they get a discount on the AIT in order to go ahead and have Mike Hallamore's, not Mike Hallamore's, but Everett Ramsey's people go ahead and be trained as sort of, local clergymen for the Deep Woods Christian Identity crowd. Mike Hallamore, his AIT course is pretty well, it's Bertrand Comparé, mainly, who wrote most of it. So it's a dual seed line Christian identity work here. Anyway, I used to go ahead and talk with Eric Thompson until I got thrown in jail here. I used to go ahead and correspond with him, and Eric knew I was Christian identity, and I never censored Eric Thompson, since I disagreed with him about Christian identity. In case, I did meet Mike Hallamore. Now, when I took the AIT course, Mike Hallamore would have women graded. And women who didn't really know anything about Christian identity, and essentially the questions are essentially designed to where you go to the lesson involved and you write word for word what Bertrand Comparé did, just fill in the blanks. This is not really an understanding of Christian identity. This is an ability to go ahead, essentially fill it word for word out with the blanks here. And these females would go ahead, essentially, and grade it as such. All it requires is somebody can go ahead and match words with, in a couple pages of text here with, about 10 questions asked here. And right around, lesson three, you'd get the other books or something like that here. Well, essentially, I never got the other books here. Never got the maps. Liability Clues got to, item number three. And back in 2009, Mike Hallamore had lost his place of business or where he was staying and had to move, somewhere else. And essentially, the women got, they got longer and longer and longer in coming up with stuff here. Essentially, a lot of people just simply said, screw it, just send me the rest of the stuff, Mike. No big deal. Just send me the rest of the stuff. And that's what Mike Callimore would do. So, no, I'm not too impressed. I wasn't too impressed with Mike Callimore. Now, this Mel Lewis, who they're talking about, had the same problem with Mike Callimore. Mike Callimore does not like going ahead and selling the AIT course to Christian Identity ministers who aren't affiliated with them, because he's scared, and rightfully so. They'll just simply go ahead and use a copy machine to go ahead and copy the AIT course and raise up their own ministers. And Mel Lewis is one of them. He lives in Harrison, Arkansas as well. He is not too fond of Tom Robbs. He got his own Klan organization. So he's not too fond of Tom Robb. I'm not too fond of Tom Robb, because essentially he goes ass to mouth with Clint Downey and her meerkat. So I'm going ahead and looking at this. I'm thinking about it. Essentially, Mike Callimore has the same problem with, Mel Lewis has the same problem with Mike Callimore that I do with the AIT here. Not only does it act like a $100 or $200 bottleneck here, what happens, Mike Callimore supposedly wanted to charge him $350 per copy of the AIT course. And essentially, Mel Lewis just simply said, screw it, and just went ahead and copied it for $20. Second thing that Mike Callimore has a problem with . Well, that's the same thing. Mike Callimore and Jarrell Moseley. Now, I don't like Jarrell Moseley. He's a Finkelsteinite. He loves that Brian Rio here. I made fun that Brian Rio stayed for 2 weeks with Jarrell Moseley. Oh, hey, Jarrell, didn't you figure out that Brian Rio was a little shit-skinned mamzer faggot here? Was it when he went ahead and gave you a high colonic? Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But essentially, he knew Brian Rio was a mamzer. I'm not quite sure about Jarrell. Essentially, between Mike Callimore and Jarrell Moseley, they have gone ahead and pretty well raided Wesley Swift's library. Gone ahead and taken books which could have been used for training new Christian Identity ministers. That's exactly what the hell they've done. And then they wonder, well, why don't you think that much of Mike Callimore? Folks, I don't really detest Mike Callimore, but essentially Mike Callimore uses the AIT as a business. It's not about training Christian Identity people. Second problem that I've had that, Mel Lewis went ahead and sort of alluded to, is you end up by people going ahead and buying, mamzers like Brian Wright, Finkelsteinite, maybe even Eli James, by going ahead and buying an AIT course. And Brian Wright was the worst about that. Go ahead, claim that he will not ordain anybody who is not a graduate who does not have an AIT course. Really? Really? I remember when I was in Nut House, January. John Britton goes ahead, and I was able to make any phone calls in jail, but I'm able to go ahead and make phone calls once I get a phone call card to John Britton, and I find out that John Britton has been saying that he's annoyed at Gillette because he was offered to go ahead and buy an AIT course and sent to Gillette in federal prison for his stupid let's rob banks for Bolivian nose candy and say it was for Yahweh's benefit. Essentially, Gillette will not go ahead and allow John Britton to go ahead and send him an AIT course for $100 in order to go ahead and learn a little bit more about Christian Identity. Gillette couldn't be bothered with learning a little bit more about what he's supposed to know. But here's Brian Wright going ahead and lying. They go, what demands the AIT course here at graduation? Well, folks, I have the AIT course. John Britton studied it when he was a kid. Back when it used to be essentially provided gratis, because Bertrand Comparé was the vice president of Wesley Smith's church. I got a copy of Pastor John Britton's father's, James Britton's, ordination certificate, signed by Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé. And essentially, Wesley Swift ran for the men of the church a sort of training in Christian identity, in dual seed line Christian identity. And Bertrand Comparé's beginning AIT course was part of it. So John Britton had already taken that. John Britton essentially had a better education in Christian identity than I had. I had come through Herbert Armstrong's church for it. He got to go ahead and hear it from his father. So, that's the second part of it. This AIT course of Mike Hallamore's allows every single Dirty Lion Mamzer, every Dirty Lion Jew who wants to go ahead and get in, to go ahead and read a little bit about what Christian identity is about. It doesn't matter if they don't understand it, that they can't follow it, that they don't really know it, that they don't really love it. It allows them to go ahead and impersonate. So essentially what it is like, well, I'm going to watch the Breaking Bad. It's sort of like them getting a syringe of high-quality crack or meth from a needle which has been in a cesspool. It allows them to do whatever the hell they want to do. It allows them to run wild. And to where they have a superficial knowledge of Christianity, but not a real racial understanding. Not a real understanding of it. So yeah, I have a problem with that. What I've been doing is taking some of Bertrand Comparé's writings, and folks, Jarrell Moseley, he has gotten control of the former Church of True Israel, and what he's doing is he's been taking down the HTML pages of Bertrand Comparé from one together and putting up the PDF files with Clifton Emmerheiser, essentially said, well, no, Bertrand Comparé, he's wrong about this 6th day, 7th day, and 8th day. I mean, everyone's a Jew here. Everyone's a Jew. No, I don't like that at all. So, I do believe that, the two things that Mel Lewis were saying that is the problem. First of all, is that it acts like a bottleneck. The AIT course acts as a bottleneck because essentially Mike Hallamore wants $100 or $200 for it. The second thing, it acts like a invasion path into Christianity for Mamzers and Jews because it goes ahead and allows them to superficially claim that they understand Christianity. When you go ahead and listen to Eli James come up with this crap about how Ham, because he screwed his mother, Naama, essentially you end up having a wigger go ahead and screw his mother and give birth to a little bastard, the grandson is a result of incest between a wigger father and a grandmother, wigger mother. That goes ahead and turns him into a Jew boy? No, it don't, Eli James. Joe Pennsylvania was there while I was going ahead and explained to that. The Naama that Ham was screwing was his wife, who was Tubal Cain's sister. That gave birth to the little Jew bastard Canaan. But Ham was a total wigger. He went ahead and he had a white wife, who supposedly was, who was the father of Mizraim and Phut, who was essentially the fathers of the Egyptians and the Libyans. But folks, Bertrand Comparé admits that Egypt was a going country when the flood occurred. If you go ahead, I've been going ahead and looking at Bertrand Comparé's work here. Bertrand Comparé doesn't make a bunch of claims that a bunch of people say he did. So anyway, Jarrell Moseley, he's busy going ahead and changing. I had to go ahead for the Church of True Israel. I had to go back to the Wayback Machine from the archive page and bring it up there. essentially it's been pretty well done away with, and sometime last September, last year, the domain name for Church of True Israel, which was an offshoot because they didn't agree with Butler bringing in every single criminal to run wild, because they didn't agree with that. Essentially, they formed their own offshoot based upon a bunch of people who lived really in Montana. Didn't agree with, Pastor Richard Butler's policy, so they went ahead and formed their own Christian Identity webpage, and it based from 1995-1996 as well here. I used to know some of the people who used to run. So yeah, I've met Mike Halamore. I don't really have a dislike for Mike Halamore, but I do have a dislike for how he goes ahead and runs things. I sort of think that his AIT course should be, less sending it off to prison managers, less sending it off to the Brian Wrights and the Bill Finks and the rest here. When Eli James did a interview with Mike Halamore, by then I was already pretty well banished here. Back in, when was it? March 2010. I was pretty well banished already by Eli James. When was it? Let me see. October 2010. I think it was, I'm trying to remember. I think it was in March, maybe 2011. Something like that. Essentially, I was banned here. You had a number of people. Okay, you had a number of people there. Here, hold on. Oh, I'm looking at something here else. No, I don't need to go ahead and take a quick break, do I? Let's see. Looks like Breaking Bad is on, so I went ahead and moved to 4 here, and I'm recording right now. Anyway, don't need to take a break. So where was I here? Well, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm glad you found a new theme for the show. What is it here? Okay, well, I'll go ahead and look at it here. The main thing for this show is Swinger Problem, though. But let's go ahead and see it here. Okay. Well, I'll keep it in mind. Okay. Anyway, yeah, the apostles had to deal with people like, hell, it was Simon Magus here. Old Fink didn't know who Simon Magus was. What's funny is that old, Debbie Downey's little meerkat Mark has actually learned quite a bit of stuff here in his last couple of years here. He knew who Simon Magus was. And he was reading Hyslop's Two Babylons. Folks, there's a number of books here to where you go ahead and you take bits and pieces of them here, including Eustace Mullins. Somehow he got hold of something to where essentially about the, he was able to go ahead and figure out who Naamah was, the sister of Tubal-Cain, that Ham went ahead and married her. We had, Chris Drake. Chris Drake called in about the curse of Ham, and I pointed out there was no curse of Ham. Ham deserved a good curse or two. Ham was a total worthless wigger who, according to some traditions, I haven't been able to go ahead and see where, but according to traditions, he went ahead and screwed a nigger aboard the ark. And three creatures had sex aboard the ark: the dog, the raven, and Ham. And from what I gather, all three of them got some sort of curse. But the Genesis chapter 9 curse wasn't that. Essentially, what you had is that you had Southern Baptist preachers going ahead, and in the Southern Baptist Convention split off from the, quote, Northern Baptists over slavery in 1858, 59, 60, 61, 62, whatever here. They split up around the time of just before the Civil War over slavery. And what was it? 3 weeks ago, they went ahead and elected the first nigger president of the Southern Baptist, Southern Baptist Convention. And they came up with a story about the curse of Ham because they wanted to go ahead and justify nigger slavery. And folks, the Bible and Paul and the New Testament justify slavery. Now, for all purposes here, slavery in the Bible among the Israelites was that if a criminal went ahead and committed a crime and had to make restitution for which he couldn't pay, he could be sold into slavery for 7 years. Now, if he went ahead and insisted, oh, I want to go ahead and be a slave forever, I'm not really used to keeping track of myself, he'd go ahead and pierce his ear with an awl and he would be a slave forever. But you didn't have intergenerational slavery like you do with nigger slaves. So here were the Southern Baptists, or these Protestants, trying to go ahead and justify slavery. And they did that by coming up with the curse of Ham. Ham had been cursed. Not Canaan. Ham had been cursed. And I think it was somebody within a couple of shows who went ahead and brought that up. You got to understand, if throughout Christianity, you end up having a number of people come up with bits and pieces that they've gone ahead and read from somebody else here. Herman Hay of the Worldwide Church of God usually goes ahead and listens to Mantheo. This new guy, this Ken Johnson, I believe his name, Dr. Ken, Ph.D., Ken Johnson, with his post-flood history, ancient history, which is on Kindle Books here. You can go ahead and get it on Prime, and I think the paperback costs $12. The Kindle edition costs $5 and something here. I'll probably end up buying it. He goes all together by the Book of Jasher and the King James Bible. Now, he somehow believes that when the flood occurred, according to the King James Version, somewhere, when was it? Around 23 or 2500 B.C., that somehow the continents were changed all together, really. And the Septuagint adds about 800 or 900 or 1,000 years to it. He doesn't want to go ahead and believe the Septuagint, even though the Septuagint, in many cases, was the basis for the Masoretic text. He prefers the King James Version Masoretic text, just like Keith Southworth does. So, generally, you got to understand is that if you're really getting into this, you're really studying the ancient history, you got to understand there's going to be about two or three accounts, and they're all going to be different, and everybody's going to go ahead and pick and choose what he likes. Okay? I don't know about that here. folks, I don't have a problem with the Farrar Fenton, but on the other hand, calling Egyptians Mizraimites here is a little bit far-fetched here. Because among dual seed line Christianity, it's understood that there were, quote, Egyptians before there was the flood. In fact, there's some people believe that Sargon the Great, a.k.a. Cain, was actually King Menes. And his son was another pharaoh who went ahead and unified Lower and Upper Egypt. So there was Egypt, and there were Egyptians before there was a Mizraim. Okay? So, it's the Lord's Prayer in Swahili? Well, I don't know about that here. Swahili. I think that's a nigger language here, from what I gather here. I'm not really much into playing nigger language here. I usually prefer, I don't know if there's a Uyghur problem version of Swahili. I might go ahead and use that here. Okay? Anyway. Okay, here. Anyway, somebody was going ahead and asking. Anyway, getting back with the Reverend Mel Lewis here. All this whining and pissing and moaning about it. And pretty well that's what got Oba Genderbender pissing and moaning, because they were pretty well telling me, he was pretty well using me to quote a number of things here. Folks, somebody going ahead and for 3 years having a Christian identity conference of essentially congregants in the West Alabama Green. I'm trying to remember here. I went to Green, Alabama while I was driving a truck here. I'm trying to remember where Green was at here, but they say it's in Western Alabama. From my gear, you end up having Mel Lewis. He's running his own church. He's going ahead and doing his own ministry. And essentially, he's trying to go ahead and build up his own church, and I don't have a problem with that. I've never had a problem with with Pastor Mel Lewis. In any case, from what I gather, after 3 years, they tried to go ahead and send some flyers, and then they got a whole bunch of publicity. And I think that they were expecting that publicity. And I think that I don't think Pastor Mel Lewis did it without consulting the people who are already there. Now, if he consulted them and they said no and he did it anyway, he's going to have his own problem with people who are going to be annoyed as that you brought it on the whole scrutiny amount, down on us here. Folks, when I've been to some of these conferences, essentially, you'll end up having Jews and the local niggers and a bunch of the other people whining and pissing and moaning about doing this sort of thing. And essentially, back in 1999, this was for a hotel or motel which was, undergoing a good deal of renovation. Essentially, they wouldn't be able to rent it out to most people. Essentially, when Everett Ramsey went ahead and went along with it. Essentially, we were doing a lot of renovation. Essentially, rather than close the hotel or motel. They just got some extra business. They didn't pay attention to the niggers and the rest bitching here. Now, most of the time, it used to be that most of the whining and pissing and moaning occurred when Pete Peters would do his Branson thing around Memorial Day at the end of May. But yeah, I remember a little bit of pissing and moaning with the Springfield News leader, whining, you know, whining about racism and whining about anti-Christian, whatever. And generally, well, Jews and niggers really weren't welcome. This was a private meeting. Essentially, the local media sort of got wind about it, and they whined a little bit about it. But essentially, it wasn't like there were any big protesters or anybody else here because, well, at least back in 1999, they sort of said, well, if you don't believe in what these people believe in, well, just stay away. Just stay away. And I remember, essentially, Everett Ramsey went ahead and there were these people in these Confederate hammerskin t-shirts and he refused to let them in. And they were pissing and moaning about that here. But, you know, hey, I mean, if you'd just gone ahead and come back with just wearing a white shirt or a colored shirt without any t-shirt, hammer skin or anything like that here, chances are you'd have been allowed in. Chances are you'd have been allowed in, as long as you didn't go ahead, essentially, and show anything that was, quote, racist here, because they're already here and pissing and moaning about it. He wouldn't allow these local skinheads in here with their t-shirts. He pretty well, from my guy, he said, if you guys want to come back without your t-shirts, you can put a shirt over it. I'll go ahead and sell you a entrance, $15. I'll sell you an entrance for $15. But I'm not going to sell you an entrance if you're, essentially if you're not going to go ahead and, put a shirt over your t-shirt because, I'm already hearing a bunch of crap about this being a racist thing. And from my gear, I think the motel people said, well, just go ahead and hold your church service, but, don't allow the skinheads to run wild or this is not, I'm not really selling this for skinhead thing. So I think it was also part of the motel, thing doing here. I mean, essentially, if you didn't know where it was at, you had to go ahead and ask. And, pretty well, most of the motel was pretty well not occupied. So I've been to a number of these conferences. I've been to Pete Peters. Essentially, Pete Peters, you end up having what? 400 or 500 people there. And that's big enough to where, hey, if you don't like it, tough here. And yes, you end up hearing the whining and the pissing and the moaning about racism and, hate religion and all sort of shit. And essentially, Pete Peters had enough people, 400 or 500, coming in from all over to where, they had to go ahead and go to outside motels or something like that here to go ahead and carry the rest of it. So, yeah, they'd have a big old banquet hall, and you had, 400 or 500 people there. That went on Pete Peters' things in at least May 2002. I went ahead and, took Roxy and Helen and me, and pretty well we went ahead and got a room cheap at the Boxcar Willie, Motel, which was about 3 blocks away from where Pete Peters was holding his. Jim Giles, let me just say that Jim Giles did a very good radio show, except for when he was trying to find Edgar Steele guilty. I got tired of 3 weeks, twice a day, three weeks in a row of that shit. And, Jim Giles treated me pretty, nicely for my interview with him. And I guess he thought that I betrayed him here because essentially I got him to yell and scream about Edgar Steele. Oh, Hattie the Meerkat was on. Hattie the Meerkat did not want to go ahead and, cross swords with me. I was going to chew on his ass. Instead, I chewed on Mona Montgomery's ass. I went ahead and chewed on Mona Montgomery's worthless ass here. know, I went ahead over 100 Wallace's and personated Mona Montgomery. I went ahead and posted those two things here of Edgar Steele is guilty here. He wants to go ahead and get rid of his wife. I went ahead and posted two of Mona Montgomery's YouTube. Nobody detected the imposture here. They all thought I was Mona Montgomery. And they said, Mona, you're nuts. And Mona is nuts. Mona is nuts here. I mean, Edgar Steele ain't nuts. Mona Montgomery's nuts. Okay? So, okay, here. Well, no, what happens is Jim Giles would go ahead, he would call up all these people on Skype. And I don't know why it is, because most people, this is Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air. I always seen one or two people who said, we're on the air. I don't want to be on the air. Click. I mean, I always seen about one or two. I mean, usually what happens when Jim Giles would call people via Skype is most people go ahead, I guess, get this deer in the headlights look here, essentially, and not hang up on him. Hell, he even got old Whitersville Wheelos Williams to go ahead and talk to him. And then, of course, at the end of 50 minutes here, he went ahead and screamed at old Whitersville, told him to shut his ripping mouth, told him to be quiet here, was screaming at him. You know what I mean? Now, me, I hung on because I wanted to have, you know, Jim Giles scream. But what happens is that old Whitersville went ahead and put up with it. I thought it was hilarious here. So, anyway. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and, I don't think you missed anything here. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, yeah, he'd go ahead, you know, Jim Giles, you know, let me just say, is that Jim Giles would often get interviews that you didn't think he ought to have gotten. He would go ahead and, you know, I mean, I loved his interview with William Lind. Now, William Lind went ahead and treated him like a tard, but, you know, I mean, he was polite to him. But he hadn't read William Lind's works or book. The only time old Jim Giles usually be rude was when he went ahead and ambushed Hunter Wallace on December 18th or 19th, and he did it because he had a man crush on Alex Linder, and he wanted to go ahead and defuse the matter to where Alex Linder went ahead and testified against old bitch tits Bill White. Linder testified against old bitch tits Bill. He was a prosecution witness. Didn't need to be. He could have gone ahead and flushed out what he knew about old bitch tits, because he knew bitch tits was heading for a trial. But he went ahead and kept old bitch tits information up on his webpage, on his forum. I call it data mining. And old Linder went ahead and said, oh, well, you got to understand, if you write something on DNNS, you're going to get in trouble. First, I don't see why anybody is on VNNF, unless the spy. You know, I got socked up on VNNF. But, folks, you had old Kevin, you know, what was his name? Kevin Harpham. Jill Snuffy. 32 years. Went ahead and was a tard who got caught on VNNF here. Okay? Yeah, old Mumpsnuts threatened to get, you know, old Mumpsnuts threatened a number of things here, but then when I got on, you know, when I got on, old Mumpsnuts ran off here. Mumpsnuts doesn't like me chewing on his ass. Oftentimes what Mumpsnuts will do, will go ahead, you know, threaten a bunch of stuff, then I'll go ahead and ridicule the crap out of them. Then he'll run off, and they'll come back to spam. And so spamming is a lot harder on TalkShoe than what it used to be. Mumpsnuts doesn't like, you know, going ahead and doing that. Mumpsnuts ran off here. I don't know why Mumpsnuts thinks he's so tough. I mean, hell, he might weigh more than I do. He probably does, probably by 10 or 20 pounds. I mean, Mumpsnuts looks like he weighs, what, at least 250, 260? So he probably weighs more than I do. You know, I'm 250. I'm 6'2", though. Mumpsnuts is only, what, about 5'8", or something? Hell, I got 6 inches height and probably 3 inches on length on old mumps nuts. I mean, you know, I could probably, maybe even I could outrun mumps nuts. And then beat the dog shit out of mumps nuts. So mumps nuts can threaten all sorts of crap here, but, I mean, when I knew him here, he was just sitting in a chair like a tard here, and I think he was scared I was going to go ahead and kill him. So like Trader Glenn Miller was here. So, yeah, mumps nuts, I'm not really scared of mumps nuts much. I mean, mumps nuts are far more scared of me than I am of it here. So anyway, why do you call him mumps nuts? What happens is that he told Roxy, while I was trying to go ahead and work on this printer, work on a number of things, he told Roxy that he couldn't have kids because mumps had settled in his testicles. And then later on, you know, sometimes I'll put a, you know, parentheses, S, you know, question mark, because Roxy isn't sure whether or not mumps nut said he only had one testicle or not here. So he might just be mumps nut. You know what I mean? Not sure if he's mumps nuts or, huh? You know, mumps nuts challenged me to a duel. He's been challenging me to a duel since, when was it? Well, he heard me say that I fixed the Geo Metro. So ever since March of 2010, mumps nuts challenged me to a duel. I told you, okay, mumps nuts, you challenged me to a duel. I get to choose the weapons in the ground, and I choose gelding knives at zero paces in my front living room. No witnesses. And for some reason, Mumpsnuts doesn't want to come down here. Mumpsnuts acts like he's big and bad, but, you know, hell, Mumpsnuts is just a tard. Huh? I want to do gelding knives at zero paces here. You know, go ahead and, you know, I mean, Mumpsnuts is a complete liar. Mumpsnuts is a complete tard. See, what he does, what he'll do is he'd just go ahead and lie. I mean, my main name for him is Liar Bill. He went ahead, and you gotta understand, I understand quite a bit about Liar Bill, because when I went ahead and had him send to Stormfront this ordination certificate showing that I'd ordained him, so that old Clunt's meerkat Mark Downey could have his shit fit. What happens is that when he went ahead and typed in his username, his password, he didn't know it, but, you know, using the V-Bulletin, he'd gone ahead and clicked Remember Me. So as a result, after he left and, you know, pretty well he lied and then said he was making up with Mark Downey in Kentucky, oh, a couple days later, I went ahead and logged into Stormfront on Toshiba number 2 and logged in as Chaplain Bill. And thus I was able to read his private messages. I was able to go ahead and essentially read everything that a paid up member of Stormfront gets to read. And I was going ahead, he'd already gone ahead and made himself, you know, was made moderator of the Christian Identity, or as I call it, Christian Telegony sub forum. And since I was able to read his private messages and read a bunch of stuff here, which convinced me that, you know, Mumpsnuff was just what he appeared to be, just an idiot. And essentially he went ahead and was trying to go ahead and ban Mordiver, who I think was old Maggie Belbitch Butts, you know, Gabby Rell. He was going ahead and trying to censor Lisa Lee, who's still a member over there. He was trying to go ahead and censor a number of people. But pretty well what was his undoing is he decided to go ahead and get banned Debbie Downey and Mark Downey for essentially fighting with Catholics. And pretty well, he went ahead and complained to Lycia, the sperm front hoggus, who used to be an NA member, a big fat sow, you know, just looking for dick and not finding any. She went up to old Jack Boot, or as I call him, Jack Poot, and then Jack Poot went ahead and brought it up to Don Black, and then went down from Don Black to Jack Poot to Lycia to old Liar Bell Mumpsnuts the Clueless, where it essentially said that whatever Clint wants, Clint gets. And old Mumpsnuts had a fit about that. Mumpsnuts didn't like essentially being told they couldn't go ahead and censor or ban somebody. Especially not old Clint down here, little Meerkat. So he went ahead and resigned as moderator and didn't post the Stormfront for about 2 weeks. And essentially I should have gone ahead and just kept the thing going here, but I didn't get on for about 2 weeks because Mumpsnuts didn't get on for 2 weeks. You know, see, I have my own sock puppet on Toshiba number one, so I didn't get on as Liar Bill, and essentially I ended up losing the password to, old Mumpsnuts, thing here. So I couldn't read his private messages, couldn't get on the sustaining member board or the moderator forum and listen to what Mumpsnuts was saying. But folks, you gotta understand, Mumpsnuts is a retard. All he liked doing was going ahead and censoring and banning people. He's sort of like old Steve Elder in that way. You know, not as flamboyant as Steve Elder, but he's an idiot. Is all he is. He's just a petty snitching, petty criminal, a snitching idiot, a wannabe censor. He's just a retard. That's all he is. And, I was sort of scared after he went ahead. Oh, I was with Air Force Security. Well, what happens, he stole some stuff here and he got kicked out of the Air Force. And, essentially he didn't get any criminal charge. He just got either a bad conduct discharge or got a general discharge. He got kicked out of the Air Force. So, signed up for 6 years, only served, less than two? So I went ahead and brought that up here. Apocalypse, go ahead and bring it up. And essentially, they have people clean up after Mumpsnuts and APOC and the rest here. So anyway, that's just what, these clowns are here. Very few of these would be, sort of like Paul Mullett here. Paul Mullett, another petty criminal. Morris Gillette, just a drunken crackhead. And now he's a Zogbot snitch here. I mean, most of these people are not really, they're like Eric Thompson said here, or Robert Friend said, they're only dangerous if you're stupid enough to have something to do with them. Okay? So, anyway, here. I'm going to go ahead. You should dress in traditional sumo underwear. Well, Mumpsnuts got the belly for it. Mumpsnuts got, I mean, I don't think Mumpsnuts see his pecker since he was, five? Three? I don't know. I mean, Mumpsnuts got big old belly. Big old huge belly. Big old lump of fat right in front of his, Dunlopped over his belt here. I'm not thin myself here, but essentially I'm not really grossly obese like old Mumpsnuts is. Mumpsnuts talking about how tough he is ridiculous. Mumpsnuts waddles when Mumpsnuts walks here. Anyway, so sumo wrestling here. Nah, I don't think I'm going to do any sumo wrestling here. I don't have the belly like Mumpsnuts does for it. If I went ahead and beat on his head here, that'd be something different, though. With a pal slat here. I'm pretty good with pal slats. Anyway, folks, it looks like everybody's sort of decided to go ahead and call night. I think I've been yakking for about 3 hours here. But getting back to, Mel Lewis here and and his other, D.J. Brumback and William J. Collier. I don't know these two, but I do have met Mel Lewis here. Now, I said that he got convicted of child molestation, but in any case, I don't know. I was under that accusation myself here, and just because somebody gets convicted of it means that essentially they got railroaded, as far as I'm concerned. I don't, a conviction by Zog don't mean nothing to me at all. I went ahead and talked and, exchanged emails with Pastor Mel Lewis, I didn't know anything about this. I don't know. I don't think I won't go ahead and believe it, even though supposedly it ended up happening. Essentially, what happens is that Mel Lewis has a difference with Tom Robb and Mike Hallamore. I've already explained these differences here. Anyway, as far as whether or not someone wants to go ahead and publicize their rally or their meeting or whatever, I think that's up to whoever attends the thing. You know what I mean? When I went to Everett Ramsey's thing in May 1999, well, it was publicized. And there was some, pissing and moaning about it. I certainly didn't wear any special t-shirts or any special stuff here. I mean, I was just another white guy who brought along a 3-year-old granddaughter. I was having crutches because my tendonitis in my left hip was acting up. Didn't have half a beard. I just looked like some white guy who was attending, one of these meetings, of course. And, same way with Pete Peters. But then again, it was about, 400 or 500 people there. So I've met a number of people throughout the years. Talked to a number of them. And, Mel Lewis seems to be pretty well on the up and up here. No big deal. Anyway, I think I'm pretty well just going in circles here. I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. Go ahead, and I need to get these shows back up here. I had a fairly interesting conversation with Chris Drake and George Takei, or Mr. Sulu, or whatever. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the four-night log let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling land, Kyrie-lay-i. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gusto. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go,
weasel ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White mango, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause's right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White mango, weasel ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White mango, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.